across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Talk Radio.
Nice. Let me just plug my headphones in. And then I can talk up to the news. Good evening. It's Jake Yap here. It's not Ian Lee. I know. We're all devastated. It's part of my toothbrushing regime. But before we start the show, why don't we catch up with the latest headlines off of the news and that. Brilliant. Shall we?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Oh, hi. Well, that's a surprise to all of us, isn't it? So there I was, having my tea. And now here I am on the wireless, and it's lovely to be here, long-time listener, first-time host, I'm sort of conscious, Kat, you're here, so we can reassure people that there's some continuity.
Yeah, sadly it's just me.
No, that's the best bit. I feel like, and Ed, of course.
Ed,
I know. You should have someone else called Ego. I'm conscious. I'm stepping into a certain arena here. You know, this is a hall of greatness, and it's quite intimidating. And I've been carefully briefed in by everyone on Twitter who said, please, whatever you do, talk about 70s TV shows, Muslims and Brexit.
I think they might have been stitching you up a little bit there.
Oh, do you remember old sweets? Weren't they brilliant? but here's, I did want to talk briefly about smells, because Ian Lee, he smells so good, man.
Mm.
No.
Well, funny you should mention that. When did you last sniff him?
Oh, well, when I covered for him, like, it was a couple of... Oh, no, not for him. I was covering for Johnny and Ash. And so he came in to do his little two-way at 9:30. And he smelled... he smelled so... And it was... Go on.
That might have been the week where he'd forgotten to buy deodorant for a week and was just liberally covering, masking the man smell.
No, not seriously, though.
Yeah.
He smelled incredible.
Yeah. Well, I've known him for a long time. I know exactly what that trick was.
Amazing. Because I just thought that's the secret. That's the smell of success. Literally. That's the smell. And I need to smell more successful.
Right, okay.
So, like, at best...
So don't buy any deodorant for a while, then just cover it up with as much aftershave as you can put on.
Well, see, I didn't even own any aftershave. Oh, that's the thing. Right. Bit gauche. See, a bit naive.
Well, or is it new? My granddad didn't buy aftershave or deodorant for a good... I mean, he didn't think it was manly.
Well, yeah.
That was 1950s man, that.
Okay.
It was the essence of man.
Well, there you go. I mean, I'll try and cultivate.
Go there.
Rickets or something. But so I've tried to smell more successful.
You smell all right.
Do I smell all right?
I don't smell anything unusual, which is always a bonus.
I put on some aftershave to smell it.
Oh, yeah.
Is it all right?
Clean, yeah. It smells like a good wash, which is always a good marker for me.
Okay.
Yeah, it smells like you're clean.
It's a vegan aftershave.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, no.
It's just garlic, kale. No, I don't
Are you
know.
A vegan?
Yeah. Oh, it's been... Oh, hang on. Whoa. It's 4 minutes, 45 seconds we've been on air.
And I've
I can't
just discovered
tell you yet. It's 5 minutes. That's the standard for vegans. So we'll give it another 8 seconds and then I'll tell you that I'm vegan.
Okay, hang on.
So I'm vegan.
Are you?
Yeah. And
Are we going to talk about this for the full 3 hours now? Is that the standard procedure? Yeah,
probably. There was this story where we should make.
Are you though? Let me see your shoes.
Oh, I love these shoes.
Right. Well, are they leather shoes?
No.
Wow, you're a proper one.
It's a guy called Will who makes Will's shoes.
But you don't mind them looking like leather.
I don't mind them looking like leather.
So you don't mind looking like a non-vegan.
I don't mind looking like I don't mind tucking into a cheeseburger as long as it's all made out of.
Blimey! Would you eat? Would you eat Frazzles?
Yes.
Right.
God, yeah. I was going to talk about Frazzles. I was going to talk about the different smells of all the different presenters.
Go on.
On the network. Well, I was trying
Who
to
smells
work
of Frazzles
out...
then? Because every child smells of Quavers and Wotsits, don't they?
No, dog's feet smell of Quavers. Have you noticed that?
I've never sniffed a dog's foot.
They smell like nachos.
Do they?
Yeah, go and sniff.
Do dogs
there's a
have
dog,
cheesy
there's a dog
feet?
Out in the TalkSport.
I don't know it well enough to sniff
of course
its feet.
You, yeah, but dogs are easy. Try and smell a cat you don't know his paws.
No, my nemesis is a cat. I wouldn't and I know that cat well, so I wouldn't even try that. Yeah, my sister.
What do you mean your nemesis?
My sister's cat hates my guts, but it does it in a really sneaky way, so everyone thinks I'm lying. I've been stitched up by this cat. Yeah. Elvis. I've known it since it was a kitten and we always got on really well.
Yeah.
And then when I had my first child, I don't know what kind of smell I was kicking out.
Interesting.
But it hates me. like, properly hates me, but it waits till everyone else is out of the room and it will hiss at me.
Really?
It will go for me. No one believes me. It's like a cat, Cato. It lies in wait for me. It swipes at me.
I've got the first ever cat that has mood swings.
Oh.
This cat, I found it in a barn in Wales.
Right.
What
nicked it?
I just nicked it. All right, it was a pet shop in Crawley, but no, it was I went for a walk. Went away for the weekend, and I was meeting my parents there, mm-hmm. and we'd rented some little cottage on a farm somewhere, and I arrived a bit early, and I thought, oh, I'll go for a little walk up the road.
Yeah.
And I was walking along, and there was this barn, and I could hear this noise sort of emanating from this barn. I thought it was like a bird or something.
Oh.
And I thought, God, that's a bit of a weird noise. Well, that's none of my business. I carried on walking. Went for a walk, and then I was coming back down there, and it was like 3/4 of an hour to an hour later. And I could still hear this noise coming from this derelict barn.
Oh, like a whistle. Oh, you had a cat.
It was
whistling.
Just kind of like, noise, right?
Right, okay.
That's as close as I can.
That's an extraordinary noise.
Well, it was.
I'm amazed you walked past it the first time.
Yeah, I remember, yeah. So, I thought, well, I should probably investigate just in case something, you know, something's amiss.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in, and it was this barn, and it had a concrete floor that was covered, overgrown with brambles.
Ooh.
And before I could see it, I could hear where the noise was coming from. And then I saw this little rustle of the leaves. And it was this tiny little kitten, grey and white,
cute.
Little pink nose, just going, ah, help! And so I sort of scooped it. I mean, he just kind of came and hid in the crook of my shoulder, and where I smell really good. And I took it back to the farmhouse, and I knocked on the door. And I hadn't spoken to the woman who ran the place yet. And a window opened. So I'm in the wilds of Wales.
Mm-hmm.
The window opens and this voice says, and this is a good impression.
Go on.
What you want? I'm like, that's not beautiful, idyllic, rural Welsh charm. That sounds like something from Dagenham. So, what you want? I said, oh, hi. Sorry, I'm staying at the cottage and I've just found this kitten. And I showed her this beautiful little baby kitten. And she went... Well, what do you want me to do? Drown it?
No, she never said
she
that.
She did!
Where was she from? The 40s?
I know, right? Whereas I'm from the 50s. So I said, no! And that was it. From then on, I was like, I'm having this cat, right? So,
flipping Cruella de Vil.
I said, no, I don't want you to. She said, oh, is its eyes open? I said, yeah. She said, oh, it's probably too late then.
What?
I was like, okay.
Too late for what?
I know.
To drown it without a witness.
I don't know. I don't know what, like, who knows what kind of eyes wide shut. I don't know, right? So I was like, no, I just wondered, did you have any, like, thing, like, that's, I don't know.
Is
like
it your, what you're saying is this your cat I'm pinching?
Yeah. Well, what I was saying was, like, please help, please. Yeah. I don't know how hungry this cat is. So, so I took this cat and, like, my parents arrived and, like, I was sitting there with this little cat in my arms. And I it's like the classic conversation you have to have with your parents. Like, they came in, I was like, Mum, Dad. Something I've got to tell you. And there was the kitten, so I ran off to the supermarket and bought all this stuff. And he was as good as gold, just used a litter tray, just instinctively. It was just amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, and like had one accident on me, which is one of the themes for this evening's show. But, but after that, never look back, yeah. So so then it was mine, but I already had two cats.
Right, oh gosh.
And they didn't like the news. So then like I had to give away this little baby kitten. He went and lived in East London.
Right.
It was a very nice couple. And I had these two cats. And then one of my two cats got hit by a car and killed.
Oh, no.
They were brother and sister. The brother went into mourning. And it was awful. He kept looking at like patches where his sister used to sit in the sun in the flat.
Tragic.
And look at them and look at the cat flap and look at me. And this kind of like,
where is she?
And at the time I was working out of London and having to spend a couple of nights away. And I was like, I can't, this cat's in decline, man. He's so depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I shipped him off to my cousins in Bristol. And then I was catless for about 3 years. And then last December, the guy who was looking after the kitten sort of said, look, I can't take this cat on anymore. It was a very sad story. I won't go into the details, but he was like, do you want this cat back? I was like, yes, my family needs to be complete. So I got him back.
Good. And how does he feel about this? Because he's had quite a roller coaster ride.
He loves it. But here's the right. We come full circle to the actual point, which is that he has mood swings.
I'm not surprised.
He's this weird cat, right, where he's. He's like...
Someone tried to murder him at birth.
His name's Blodin. It's Welsh for flower.
Oh.
Because I thought he was a girl, and I was going around Wales, like, for the whole weekend with this little cat sleeping in the crook of my arm, mm-hmm. like, with a big, fat, full tummy, just happily snoozing. And so we would go into, like, tea shops and stuff with this kitten. And it was brilliant. And a sort of Welsh grandmother said, oh, you should call her Blodyn, because I thought it was a she.
Yeah.
So he's called Flower. That might be part of it. He might have some...
A crisis.
Yeah, because, like, he's adorable. He's like a little baby, and I scoop him up in my arms.
Still wee, is he?
Sorry?
He's still wee.
Well, no, he's a big, powerful, sinuous thing now. Mm-hmm. But he acts like a baby. Oh, right. Very aggressive, does the whole kneading, suckling mm-hmm. thing sometimes. But then he gets to about this time of night.
Oh, yeah, they do, though, don't they?
He looks at me, he's like, please let me go out. Because he hasn't got a cat flap yet.
Yeah.
Please let me go out. I'm like, what?
It's for everyone's sake.
I really need to mess someone up. Don't ask questions. I need to mess someone up. So, okay. And if you don't, he's like, he goes berserk.
What, up the walls, up the curtains, all that?
Just business? Growling, spitting, what was it? Like
Elvis.
Elvis.
You know, Elvis is a house cat. That might be his problem, that he needed to go out quite a long
time
ago.
I need to mess someone up. Let me mess someone up. Don't ask questions. He came in the other night, bleeding lip, tufts of hair pulled out. And you could see on his face, he was saying, should have seen the other guy. Like, it's, although obviously in Welsh, but.
Yeah, he looked at you like, you don't want to know, mate.
Look, people have actually phoned us, which I'm really humbled by. Thank you so much. 0844-499-1000 is the number to call. It costs 7p, but we phone you back.
We phone you straight back.
We're
so
needy.
Cool.
We're needy. Yeah. Should we talk to the infamous Alan?
Yeah, you ready for this?
Yes, I think so. Alan?
You're not Ian Lee.
No, I'm not Ian Lee. Where is he?
Yeah.
That's his business. The fact is, you're here and I'm here.
But you haven't answered the question.
Well, we can't really, but just safe to say that he wishes he was here and he will be back as soon as he can be.
Yes, exactly.
So is he running late, Kath?
No, he's not running late.
No, he's not running late.
No, he phoned in and said he couldn't come in today, and that's fair enough.
Oh, I phoned in sick.
No.
Anyway
enough clues.
How are you, Alan?
Well, you threw me a curveball. This is as bad as a curveball. Listening to Katie Hopkins on LBC.
Oh, now nothing's that bad.
Yeah, it's not that desperate, is it? Really?
Well, I'm having to entertain myself with Mock the Week.
What?
I mean, it's hard for me to talk about that.
Go on.
No, I can't. I can't.
Say it.
My agent might be in negotiation. I don't know.
It's an excellent programme.
It's a brilliant programme. We all enjoy Mock the Week.
Especially with Hugh Dennis on.
Exactly.
And the two bald boys, Dara Breen and the other one.
Did you say bald or ball?
Bald. B-A-L-D. Follicly challenged.
Yeah. Kath can see the colour draining from my face, Ellen, as we talk. It's fab.
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, we're having a great time. So you're kind of a legend, right, on the show. You're in Ian Lee's Wikipedia entry and everything.
Yeah, and I failed to get rid of a Lilith hobo.
You failed, yeah. The one-man revolt against the hobo.
You can't get rid of that. That's just like a fabulous, iconic tune. It's perfect.
No, I prefer the fool guy.
Well, you don't have to choose. You can have both.
No, you can't. You have to have...
What's wrong with the unknown stuntman?
The unknown stuntman? Well...
All right, can I ask you a question, Alan?
Yeah.
Which is, since you seem to be up on these TV themes, there's this piece of music that I really want to get, and I can't remember what it was, right? But it's if I had a show that was a late night phone-in show, and I was going to play a theme tune from that era, it would be, I think, it's the closing music from Captain Caveman. And it's this bluegrassy
bad
thing.
Choice.
Well, do you know how it goes? How does it go, Alan?
How does it go? I don't know, because I think that'll be a bad choice.
Well, how can you say it's a bad choice if you haven't heard it? It's a fabulous piece.
Let me give you my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion, and I'm saying it's a bad choice. I think we could come up with something better. As a matter of fact, let's throw that out of the topic.
No, because we'll end up talking about 70s TV.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing it. We can't do that.
But we can talk about 70s TV themes.
Well, what about bring music to 3, 2, 1?
Oh, well, how's that go?
3, 2, 1's okay, too. Yeah.
It's very...
It goes, bam, bam, bam.
You can have your fanfare for the opening.
Bam,
bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam, bam.
You can have the opening theme for your show.
Well...
Yeah, it's a good call. But I want the way... It goes like, let me sing it to you, right? Because I want to know if anybody else, like, knows it, like, knows where we can find it. It goes...
Ba ba da ba dum, dig a 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 dum, dig
Nailed it! Nailed it, Alan!
That one you were singing, was that not the High Chaparral?
No, definitely not. It's definitely a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. This is one hell of an induction.
But we're not talking about...
No, we're not. God, no. God, no! We're talking about Muslims and Brexit. No, we're not going to talk about that. What we were going to talk about was...
Try it out on Caddick, see if it works.
Which?
One of them.
One of them.
Last time you soiled yourself?
The last time you soiled yourself. Yeah. There's this story...
I've got something to say, and it relates to my mum, because she's still in the hospital.
Okay.
Oh. She's now got a case of diarrhoea.
Oh, blimey.
Okay. Well, it's very on topic.
But unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
Well, she hasn't had her bowels open since she went into hospital on Saturday. And yesterday, she had some food for the first time, and her bowels opened and went...
Fabulous.
Do you know what I think is really important when you're in hospital?
Welcome to the show.
Dignity. Thank goodness she's got you, Alan.
Dignitas.
So what was the reason why we're introducing that topic?
Because, Kat, thank you very much. There's this story that workers processing chicken carcasses in America.
So it's not even working with the live chickens?
No.
There's food stuffs nearby.
Are they going to be bombed by Donald Trump?
No, it's nothing to do with Donald.
No, that's a threadripper joke. Trump, diarrhea.
Yeah, no, I was there. I was right there with the trumping. These...
18 minutes in, we're already there.
It's fabulous. I feel like I've come home. So, these workers on the lines, they're processing these things. About every 1.25 seconds, they have to cut open a chicken carcass. So they do 27,000 chickens per shift.
That's quite they're a shift. Doing. Mm.
And it's a 10-hour shift, and they get one half-hour break, and they're not allowed to go to the lavatory at all, apart from during this half-hour break, when everybody needs to go to the lavatory.
Have you heard him breathing?
Oh, yeah, he is breathing.
I'm breathing.
Okay. Good. Anyway, so the point is that they've had to start wearing nappies.
Oh, dear. I've been ready to get the kindergartners to do the chicken. Then the nappies will be feasible.
Maybe.
They're thinking about it all wrong.
The point being, when is the last time you soiled yourself, Alan? You can share.
No, I think I've done enough sharing with my mum soiling herself.
Okay. Lovely.
Ooh, just let one out there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling, Alan. I feel quite humbled that you've taken the trouble. I genuinely do
appreciate
it.
Jake, welcome
that.
To the team.
Thank you.
Take care, Alan. Well, that was the legend that is Alan. Should we need a break, right? We haven't done a break. Sorry, let's have a break then. Bye. A very good evening to you. It's Jake Yap sitting in for Ian Lee, just for one exclusive night of fun. We've been talking about this story that chicken workers have to wear nappies, and asking when's the last time you soiled yourself. But I mean, you know, if you've got something more palatable to share, that'd be lovely. 0844 499 1000 is the number to call. Kyle is on the line. Hello.
Oh, hi, Jake. You okay?
Hi. Yeah, I'm okay. So what would you want to talk about?
Excuse me. Well, I had a bit of an idea for a topic, but I also wanted to say that I feel you should show your pain, sorry, for the cat. Because I had my next-door neighbour's cat started about 2 years ago, just coming in, sitting in my house, basically, wouldn't really do anything. So I called it KC, which was short for something cheese. And me and all my friends called it that. Affectionately, she liked it, we think.
Okay.
And it was only afterwards, I finally spoke to my neighbour, and I said, you know your cat comes in my house every day? And they went, oh, yeah, she's lovely. And I went, what's it called then? And they went, she's Willow. So I thought it was a bloke, and I gave it a highly inappropriate name.
It happens. It happens a lot. I had a cat that adopted my house where I was living once. We'd just come in and stuff, and we called it Roachford. He was very popular at the time.
That was a good song, that one song.
What was that one
Cuddly
song?
Cuddly Toy.
Cuddly Toy?
It's called
that's
Cuddly Toy.
Generation game.
Feel for me, baby.
That one.
Oh, yeah. That's not called Cuddly Toy.
Yes, it is. Cuddly Toy. That's my only joy waiting for me when I get home. What I need is a girl like you to call my very own. So you got to feel. That's how it goes.
Really?
Yeah, it's silly. Silly name, really, isn't it?
Anyway, it turned out that was a girl cat.
Blimey.
So,
yeah.
It's very common. You know, cat sexing is a fine art. I didn't realise that.
What are you going to do, blow on the fur?
Well, And then it winks. But no, you can't. I'm just saying. No, what I'm saying is, I was convinced that Blob was a girl. I had a look. I was like,
can you not
like
tell
a...
from the back? I thought it was.
No, I looked at the. Would you think I looked at a snout? I'm obviously not good on animal anatomy. Snout.
I wasn't keen on looking at it too closely. Yeah. So I couldn't tell you.
So this cat would come into your house and just sit there?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like,
now.
What? Your cat's there now?
No, she's not coming tonight, but normally I work at home on a Friday,
yeah.
And she just comes and sits on the bed, and that is it. And then The neighbour sort of said, she always, like, she'll let you know when she wants to go out, because it's 6 o'clock, it's when she has a tea. And I thought, that can't be right, or a dinner, sorry. And I thought, that can't be right. And then I watched her, and about 10 to 6, she'll, like, go downstairs and just sit by the door.
Tap to watch.
Right,
yeah. It's like an animal version of living in Salford. Like, well, no, I say that because I went on the set of Shameless once.
Right.
And
you know I'm from Salford?
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah, originally.
Okay, well, originally. A long time ago.
Yeah. And the rest of my family all talk proper Salford, right? My mum's called Brenda.
Right.
And she's got sisters, Edna, Linda and Nora.
Do they still live in Salford?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, Eccles, actually. They moved
okay.
Upmarket.
Well, there you go, you see. They got out of the hood. I went, and they were filming on location in Salford.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've never seen a shoot like it. Like, normally on shoot, there's people sprawling around, they mill about and stuff. It was like a flock of sheep. They were clustered together, like shoulder to shoulder. Everyone was standing there, and there were like 6 security guards standing around them, and there were these gangs of feral children roaming the streets. Only one house in 8 was inhabited. The rest were either like boarded up with these big metal shutters or, yeah, like in ruins. And there were kids scrambling over power cables in these ruins and stuff. It was terrifying. And they said that, like, they'd be filming in one of the houses there, and kids would just walk in off the street like Willow, right? They just walk in and sit in this person's house, like in the shop they were trying to set up.
Yeah.
With their headphones on, like... Tss, 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 tss. And then she goes, so, you're going to start filming soon?
Am I going to be on the
telly? And the director would be like, yeah, probably in a minute, if it's all right with you. Does that sound? Yeah.
You know what they're doing? They love intimidating the Southerners. That's what.
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. But I said because I was like thorn with fear, this little Southern, you know, softy. And I said to the production manager, I said, I've never seen anything like this. I've never been on a shoot like this. She said, oh no, this is quite good. I said, this is quite. She said, yeah, last location we used to film on, the catering manager got his jaw broken.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I couldn't believe. So Kyle, it's like a little bit of Salford on the end of your bed.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, because I'm from Rochdale, which I think Cass probably knows of as well, so it's
bit,
even
yeah.
worse. Yeah.
I don't know if it can... Is it worse? Salford underwent a bit of a revival. They sort of tried to smarten it up and stuff, and they blocked off a lot of the rat runs.
They now have
a friend of mine, well, my mum's friend, is in charge of choosing stuff at the council. I think that's her job. I think that's her job description.
Choosing stuff.
And they chose the new colour for the bin, all the official vehicles, like including the bin vans and all that.
Right.
And she says it's magenta.
Mm.
Now, we all know it's pink.
Right.
But that was another attempt to sort of spruce up the area.
She's trying to magentrify.
Magenta.
It still is pink in Salford, I think, isn't it?
Well, no, it's magenta.
Oh, magenta. So the thing I was going to ask is, and Kath, you might be better placed to answer this,
if
that's all right.
Go on.
So I was just, God, that was like Ian. That's months of listening to the man. He managed to get in my head. So the thing was, when you were saying about cleanliness and the not using deodorant, there is a myth, an urban myth, that if you don't wash your hair or put deodorant on, your body cleans itself after 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Is that true?
No, it's bald. There was a lad at my school in the sixth form, of course, that's when all the best experimentation happens.
Mm.
And he decided that he would try the hair thing out.
Really?
Flipping it, you could smell him from one end of the room to the other. It's
You smell like a sheep. Is that right?
Yeah, it smelled. There was a yes,
like a lanolin-y sort of.
Definitely.
Really.
But that's
gorgeous.
Probably what we're supposed to smell like.
Well, was he popular with the ladies?
Well, certain kind. He looked a bit like Swampy. So if you like that sort of thing,
I love it.
Probably
it's my favourite thing. So that's a myth. So, okay, well, all right.
But I don't know. No, there's a new thing at the moment that a lot of the mum bloggers, and I hate that, it's just because they happen to have popped a couple of bloggers out automatically, they're not women anymore, they're mums. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, they're not. I'm kidding.
They're going poo-free. Have you heard this?
Excuse me.
Yeah, you don't use shampoo anymore. You use like clay.
Okay, I thought you were talking about like sewing up your anus or something.
No, I wouldn't recommend that. Not for hair cleanliness.
Cauterize it shut. It's just not clean, is it? Why do people do it?
But I know. In particular, we had one of the callers to this show, Penny, has done it, gone poo free.
Really?
But it's a lot of faffing about. I mean, you know, shampoo or clay. I'll go shampoo.
Well, because there's all those things that you can do, like cocoa and baking powder and stuff for this dry
shampoo. I've done beer. Have you done beer?
No, I haven't done beer.
I've done beer.
Only like accidentally in a pub for a laugh.
Yes.
Trying to get attention.
I've done the beer thing. I used to have very long hair. I've done the beer thing. I've done egg whites.
Have you?
Yeah. I mean, nothing beats shampoo.
Exactly.
Just wash your
hair. And the trouble is, like, because I'm a vegan and closet hippie and all the rest of it, like, I go to a lot of health food shops and stuff, and they've always got, like, these really nice shampoos that are, like, really nice and kind, and they're packaged really thoughtfully in cardboard made out of hemp, and, like, you know, it's all natural again, and they don't work.
No.
They don't work at all.
But you can't get the lava in London.
No,
you can't get it.
Hard water.
Yeah.
Very.
Better for your arteries, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
What, because it scrapes, like, its way through?
In Edinburgh, it's soft water, mm-hmm. and that's why they all have heart disease there.
Well.
And the deep fried. But yeah, no, it is. It's terrible for you, soft water.
Oh, I didn't realise that. Yeah. So I should be grateful.
You should be grateful.
Right.
I'm grateful to Kyle. Kyle, thanks for ringing.
No worries, kid.
Appreciate it. Take care. 0844 499 1000 is the number to call. Set your own agenda. Do what you like, really. And we'll be back after this. Hey!
You alright?
I said, didn't it rain a lot? Brilliant. 0844 499 1000. My main question is, when did you last soil yourself? Do you want to know the last time I knowingly...
I do. Well, I don't, but I think I do. Yeah, go on.
I was... it was a long time ago.
Good.
It was about 14 years ago.
Okay.
And I was on a date.
Oh, no.
And...
You're still together.
No. But I sort of... It was a first date.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time, right?
Okay.
In the States. And we'd gone to this Mexican restaurant.
Do you want to do this? Because everyone in America knows this. Obviously, it's probably gone round, but no one in this country will
have
heard the rumour yet. You could pretend that wasn't
me. I could do some sort of... There must be a sort of international jurisdiction super joke. No, come on. If we're going to lay it bare, we should lay it bare, right? So I was on this first date and we'd eaten in this Mexican restaurant, which prided itself on only selling fresh food. And after that, I was like, please just give me canned stuff that you've boiled for 10 hours. And we were crossing a road, like a really busy road. And, this is just no nice way of saying this, is there?
Did you run and it fell out?
I thought I was going to surreptitiously do a quiet blow off, right? And so I did the wrong. And it was spectacular. And I'd say, this has been really fun. Bye! And just, well, not really ran, but sort of staggered away.
Gosh. Montezuma's revenge.
Yeah, it was horrendous.
Did you see her again or?
Yes.
Did you ever tell her?
But I didn't go to that restaurant again. Actually, I did go to the restaurant again and it happened again.
Right, okay. So that's more than an accident.
Yeah,
well, there's two.
Yeah. It's, yeah, exactly. Fool me once. And boy, was I fooled. Sherlock, when did you last soil yourself?
When did I last do what, sorry?
When did you last soil yourself?
Is that actually a genuine question?
Yeah.
Is that actually a question that you're asking me now?
It is an actual genuine question.
I can't answer that. I don't even know if I want to.
Yeah.
Okay, let me think.
Was it today?
No.
Was it just now? Was it this week?
But, do you know what the worrying thing is? I do know, but I'm definitely not going to share it with you.
Oh, come on. This is the most... Look, this is a radio phone-in that has...
Subjects that, okay, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I will tell you on the premise that we can move on to subjects that I wanted to talk about.
Of course.
Okay. Too much to drink, too much to eat, probably.
Mm.
One evening, adult life, so we're not talking children life, and it caught me short.
What? Hang on, wait. What adult life? What?
Yeah, and we don't need detail, do we?
Well,
okay. Caught short, walking home,
yes.
After a meal,
yes.
A number of years ago, and yes, I had to Hang on, this is so uncomfortable for me. This is not why I was calling you.
Okay, all right,
why
all right.
Why do you do this to people?
Well, no, I wasn't trying to. I'm not trying to. It's an interesting, like, people working
you
on chicken.
You know what I should have said to you?
What should you have said?
I never have.
Is yeah, but now the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, well, should we go back with that? Let's go back to that. Should we start again?
Okay, let's start again. Hey there, Sherlock. What would you like to talk about?
You need to ask me when I last soiled myself, and I now go...
All right, okay. All right, when did you last soil yourself, Sherlock?
Never done that.
Oh, brilliant. What do you want to talk about?
Right, okay.
It was way
I
better when you told
I am entering into a conversation with you two with some intrepidation, I fear.
No, come on.
You seem quite intimidating.
God, I think that's awful. It's honestly, it's like puppyish enthusiasm.
You speak quite a lot. You never let her have a word.
It's not my show.
Yeah, but
you don't get a word. Oh, okay, darling. Sorry.
It's because I'm needy. I'm needy.
I'll tell you why I'm uneducated or inexperienced with regards to this. Because I am a mover from another channel to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which the second time I've called you.
It's the first time because I'm not Ian Lee. I'm Jake Yap, and I'm sitting in.
Second time I've called your channel.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Okay, would you like to guess the channel that I called from? Would you like to have a guess?
I know, because I was here and I was the one that answered the phone to you the first time.
Oh, crikey. So there we go. So the educational, so that's where. Oh, God, I feel a bit embarrassed.
Anyway,
right now.
You're not there now. So, that dark time is over.
Yeah. Welcome, brother.
Do you know, welcome. Don't make it a cult. Don't make it a cult. Okay, Eurovision.
Oh, yes!
You've come to the right place.
Just very quickly, you were talking about Salford.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I lived on Salford Precinct when I was 21 years old.
So you lived...
I lived in Canterbury in Kent for Carphone Warehouse.
Right.
And I watched am I allowed to say TV programmes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched Queer as Folk.
Yes.
Yeah. And I watched this amazing scene in Manchester, this amazing thing that was going on. I put in for a transfer. So I transfer as a manager from Canterbury to just because of a TV programme. And I had to that's a lie. I had to rent a flat somewhere as cheap as chips.
Yeah.
And I got the top floor of Salford Precinct, and it was a tower block in the middle of a... Do you know it?
You got the penthouse. Yes, I do know it. You know the drive-in McDonald's? The drive-in McDonald's in Salford? My gran lived behind it.
And I have to tell you, it was one of the most horrific experiences of my life.
It's real.
Oh, it was very real. Christ, coming from Canterbury in Kent, where everything's so pretty, you can walk around in the middle
really?
Of the night.
No, really? No, really? Canterbury's, isn't it?
I moved up for a movie. I moved up for a drama, a series, a thing. You know, but anyway,
that lifestyle.
So you genuinely moved house. You moved house.
He
just
wanted
on the
to live in Queer as Folk.
Wow. I know, but yes, that's exactly what it was. It was living the drama. Because I was 20, I was 21 years old. You were living the dream of this thing that was portrayed on Channel 4.
But didn't those guys like living...
Which was groundbreaking. It was groundbreaking. You never had this on telly.
It was awesome, and I enjoyed that series as well.
This isn't the reason I'm calling, by the way. I'm just saying, because you mentioned Salford.
You can talk about what you want. But what I was going to say to you is, I don't think... Maybe one of them lived in Salford, because it was, you know, about the trials and tribulations and all that.
Well, no, I lived wherever it was cheapest, because I transferred the work.
But the rest of them were like Didsbury and posh places, weren't they? In Queer as Folk, like the really sexy one had a really nice place. Yeah,
drug overdose, I think, and something like that. But I moved back
living the dream
year on the day. On the day I moved back to Canterbury, because I was mugged four times in 1 year in Manchester.
But I mean, it was a pretty rough place. I remember my grandparents lived there for a long time, and my granddad used to say he was always all right because he knew the mams.
It's such a shame.
But it's you know, the people there are brilliant, and there are people they're trying
do you
to
know
make
what?
It.
I am not in one for 1 second saying that they're not.
Yeah, and I think that things have moved on a bit as well. There's still bits, you know, there are still bits. But
it was a while ago. It was 14 years ago, I suppose, something like that. But I remember walking along the ring road and these lads running across the dual carriageway to me.
Yeah.
With tiny little blades, like, what do you call them, penknives? Now, what do you do when you go camping? What are those called?
Yeah, penknives.
Those sort of things. And do you know what I did? I just, before they even got within 10 foot of me. I took my coat off, took my bag off. I just said, here you go. Yeah. They were, and they didn't even, and they just took it and ran away. Broad daylight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
On a dual carriageway. That was in Hume, which you'll know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just at the end of Deansgate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, that's not why I'm calling. So okay. Eurovision.
Yes, Eurovision. Right, are you a fan?
Well, I've been, well, say, sorry, what's your question?
Are you a fan?
I watch it.
Okay.
I think it's become more political than, well, I think we all know that. I think
hasn't
we all
it always
know that
been?
Anyway.
Hasn't
but
it
anyway,
always
been? I want to know about your opinion, or generally your opinion. Why is Russia and Australia in it, or why were they even up to be in it? This evening, if you don't know, Ireland didn't qualify.
What?
Did Ireland not qualify?
I knew you like that.
I thought Ireland were generally in charge of the Eurovision.
They've won it the most times.
I think you get 5 or 6 countries which automatically qualify.
Yeah, the ones that stump up the cash, so we're always in.
You've got it. Ireland used to win it.
They owned it.
When I was being brought up, when I was a little kid, I'm sure Ireland won it like year after year, and then they had a few years gap and something. But no, so they didn't get into that. I watched it. That is why I rang you tonight, because I wanted to see what your opinion was on that. When I saw Ireland blur out of the equation.
Yeah. Was that it for you? Is that the moment it died?
So, Russia, Australia.
Yeah.
How is this Eurovision?
Well, if you take a stroll down almost any street in London, I think you'll find plenty of Russians and Australians. I think so. It probably qualifies.
No, but, okay. So Eurovision is not a contest for companies.
It's all about the international language of music, isn't it? So, yeah,
it's about money, isn't it?
Then you can open up the world, then.
I think it's about the international language of readies. I think it's about money.
I think that's very cynical, Kat.
Yeah, I'm a journalist.
Well, Eurovision means nothing. If we go by what you just said, then it's open to the world.
Look, some things start in Europe, you know, and good ideas spread across the world. Like, you know, I can't think of anything.
Black Death?
English. Black Death, that's a good one.
Now think of something. Now you said it, now think of something.
Oh, democracy,
come on.
Democracy. All right.
No pressure.
Democracy. I think it's great that they're
democracy.
Still allowed in. I think
that is not an argument.
Well, it's been lovely to talk to you, Sherlock.
Sherlock.
We have to take a break. Thank you very much indeed for your call. That was Sherlock. 0844-499-1000. Should Russia or Australia be allowed in? I don't know. What do you think about it?
Probably it's just thinking, isn't it? What's the point? We're getting upset about it.
Lovely. Couldn't put it better myself. Let's take a break. Very good evening to you. It's a delight to be sitting in for Ian Lee tonight. Kath is here. 0844-499-1000 is the number to call. When did you last soil yourself? And we've been talking about Salford. We're also talking about shampoo and how rubbish it is. Should we talk to Penny?
Yeah, Penny knows.
Penny.
I'm now worried because my sources and spies tell me that Kath's been talking about me.
Yes.
It's true.
And I don't know what she said, and that's now freaking
out. It was all good. It was all good.
I mentioned that you've been poo free.
I went no poo, if that's the terminology.
No poo, sorry.
No poo.
No poo. That's
we're British.
Terminology, yeah.
What did you do instead?
Oh, it all got very complicated. I started having to take bicarbonate of soda and apple cider vinegar into the shower. And it was all a bit of a faff, to be honest with you.
Would it not be like Vesuvius? Did you not just
No, it worked. It actually worked quite well, but I'm lazy and I've got 2 small kids, so I gave up after probably about 2 months, 3 months.
Three months
is really good for your hair.
But is it good for your hair? Like, because
it is. No, it is. Shampoo's awful. It's full of chemicals and I was going to say something else, but rubbish like that.
Yes.
But yeah. No, it's much better for your hair. And after a while, your hair does look better. But then there's just practicalities of life. And it's so much easier just to go in the shower and grab a bottle of shampoo.
Because I hate to say this.
Because I'm lazy.
as a frequenter of health food shops.
He's a vegan, don't you know?
And a vegan.
There
are few people, in general, I'm generalising. There are a few people with worse hair than health food shopping vegans.
Right?
They've got the worst hair, man. It's terrible. Because they do all these organic remedy things like, oh, if you steep dandelions in a bucket of water and stick your head in for an hour.
See, the thing is, I've got a friend who, in her own words, she's quite crusty. And she tried out a few of these treatments and stuff.
Where is she crusty? What do you mean crusty?
She means as in swampy type.
Yeah, okay. A bit swampy type crusty. She currently lives in a yurt in New Zealand, actually.
Does she?
So, you know, she does. Yeah,
no,
she moved,
crusty.
She moved from South London, sold their house and moved to New Zealand.
Seriously?
Toured around on a bus for a while, and now they've bought some land and they've got a yurt and they've put their yurt up and she lives there. And
do you know, she's the woman crusty. That my dad warned me that I would be because I had liberal views. He
really?
Said, yeah, you're going to end up in a caravan.
Really?
Yeah, going round with some lad with long hair.
There's still time.
It's the dream.
But she's not washed her hair with shampoo in over 3 years now.
Yeah, but she lives alone in a yurt in the middle of nowhere.
No. She has a very nice husband. I've met him. He's lovely.
Yeah.
But she,
got no
any
nose.
Remedy people tell her about, she tries out. So she went to, I think it's her nan's funeral, having that morning tried out putting cocoa powder in her hair.
Uh-huh.
And apparently at the wake bit, someone had to point out to her that she'd kind of got, like, dripping lines of chocolate running down her forehead.
What was the plan with the cocoa powder? Was that to disguise roots or something?
I think at the time she had dark hair.
Right.
And it's, you know how, like, you've done this, Kath, I'm sure, talcum powder in your hair when it's a bit greasy, that kind of thing. I think it was like a version of that, but for people with dark hair.
Oh.
I've heard this. I've heard that cocoa powder is what
I could see why that might work. Flipping
it. It's weird though, isn't it? It's weird.
There
Very
are reasons
weird.
Why we don't do that stuff anymore, and she found out the hard way.
Did you say that your friend, she would try any suggestion that anyone made to her?
Well, also, she tried out loads of natural things. She was, I don't know if she still is, she was writing a column for Cosmo magazine all on natural alternatives to beauty stuff. So she did like drying out beetroots and making blusher out of dried out beetroots and random stuff like that.
Oh. Oof.
She's quite crusty in her own words.
But do you know what? I love people like that.
Yeah.
Because they've kept that
woman.
Yeah, they've kept that kind of childlike rather than childish, you know, enthusiasm for life where you go, oh yeah, I'll give that a go. I can do that.
It's a scalp.
Yeah.
It's a scalp.
I'm too boring to do that kind of thing.
It's a scalp and a snack all in one. Well, is that what you were calling for, Penny, or was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I just wanted to make sure Kath hadn't been slagging me off, you see. As I say, I got a message from someone going, oh, I don't respect you anymore because you went no poo. And I went, what?
Why can't you sort of say sham free? Why does it have to be no poo?
Sham free.
I don't know.
It actually makes my bowel panic when you say no poo. Anyway, thank you so much.
That's what it's always been known as no poo. I've no idea why, but Justin Dealey was too chicken to do it, though, I think, wasn't he, Kath?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, his hair is precious.
It's very precious, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm going to say right now, I am all poo. Thanks for your call, Penny. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Take care, mate.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye. 0844 499 1000 is the number to call. Why don't we talk to Gatford?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. I'm okay. I'm sort of... The panic is starting to recede.
Well, you did talk to Alan Caddick earlier. That's enough to set any man off.
It's a baptism of fire.
Yeah.
Hello, Kath.
Hiya.
I had a Caddick attack.
Yeah, well, that's a good feature for the show.
I think we had it.
yeah, that's true. Also, Sherlock, does he not realise that Russia is in Europe?
Yeah, well, exactly.
I think he doesn't realise he's not on LBC anymore.
I've noticed that's a good point.
The times he's come on, he's spoiling for a fight and has it on his own.
Yeah, he did seem to be the sort of person that would argue himself in an empty room.
He'll get used to us, though, won't he? Or not?
Yeah, he'll learn. Yeah. He'll learn.
The first rule of talk radio...
We don't talk about...
Yeah.
So, what are we yapping about?
You're going to be sorry you asked, because we're asking... There's a story in the newspapers today that Oxfam have done this three-year-long study into people working in poultry lines in America.
Does that include chicken shops, do you think?
No, I don't think it includes...
Oh, okay.
Let's hope not, because the story is that they're not allowed to go on toilet breaks, and so they're wearing nappies because they're not allowed to stop...
It must be against human rights.
Well, not only that, they're chopping up food.
Yeah.
Well, this is it. And also, I mean, you could... Because, I mean, like, if you don't change a baby's nappy, they get rashes.
Yeah.
So, if they don't change them for, like, a seven-hour shift...
It's a really horrific story, actually. I mean, you know, the whole animal rights aside, what it's doing for human rights is terrific. And, that, you know, I'm not saying that happens in the UK, but I doubt... It's like working in a health spa, working in a UK abattoir. I doubt people come up to you and say, Mr. Gafford, sir, are you ready? Would you care to do one? Would you come through? Yes, fetch my robe. I feel ready to slaughter now. I doubt it's like that. So along that line, the question we're asking is, when did you last soil yourself?
As far as I can remember, I haven't. I have.
Come on!
No, no, seriously. But I'm going to be equally. I have released my bowels or released my urine at an inconvenient time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, that's what, when is that? How is that not soiling yourself?
I think he means he's not done a two.
He's
done a one.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll take anything.
It was after a Chinese meal with some friends.
Oh, sweet Lord.
And instead of saying yes to the person that said, would you like a lift home? I thought, no, I'll walk up, I'll walk home, bit of exercise.
Yeah.
About halfway home, you know, you think, oh, okay, I'll walk a little faster. And then it's, okay, I'll run. Yeah. And then the annoying thing was, all the way to the loo, open the door, whoosh.
Oh, right! Like right before you got
literally. Yeah,
that's
the thing.
That's what little kids do as well, isn't it?
When yeah.
And it was terrible.
Oh dear. Yeah.
You've brought back a whole set of trauma.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I've had a lot of close. I've had a lot of close calls recently.
Have you?
I had these like a couple of days where I've been travelling like all over London, going to various places, doing various things, and every time it's been right down to the wire.
There's a certain thrill though in running that gauntlet, isn't there?
I felt so alive.
Do you know what? I work a bit better when I'm closer to the edge.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a school of thought of broadcasting. Some broadcasters won't let their presenters go to the loo before they do a show.
Doesn't David Cameron do that? Before he does a big speech?
That brings me on to what I was going to ask you.
Really?
For urgency purposes, yeah.
Because Ian, as you know, has his little radio inconsistency, you know, eccentricities, you know, shuts the curtains and takes the watch off, takes the shoes off.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's yours?
Mine.
He's quite normal.
Yeah. I did a lot of crying in the toilet, but apart from
that.
I know what it is. He's got an insane Coke habit.
I have. I went on a Coke rampage.
Although it was Pepsi Max, wasn't it?
It was Pepsi Max, actually, technically.
What was that thing you were doing? You were shaking it before you were drinking it.
Yeah, because...
And then releasing.
Yes.
And then shaking and releasing.
Because...
And I was thinking, I don't know this guy very well, but I'm going to have to ask about this.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Why doing it, Kath, on the radio.
Okay,
well, you can't get away.
I have a controlled dependency on Pepsi Max, right?
Right.
Because it's got tons of caffeine in it, and it's got phenylalanine in it, which, if you don't know what it is, it's basically, it sends you la-la. Like, it's happy stuff. It's like an antidepressant.
Oh, like the E-numbers things.
Yeah, well, it's like natural. It occurs naturally in some things, but I think they sort of reduce it down a bit on the hob for Pepsi Max, right? And it literally makes you feel better. But obviously, it's very gassy. And so what you don't want to be doing, I'm sorry, this has been so bodily this hour, I'm sorry.
I know, well, yeah. But they're used to it with that with Ian. Yeah.
I don't want to do people the discourtesy of belching my way through this show, right? So I shake the bottle and release the gas and drink it flat.
So the bottle burps for you?
The bottle burps, so you don't have to. Yeah.
Wow.
Because then you're less flatulent.
Well, not flat, no, just belchulent, you know?
Yeah. Do you know in some places you can get Pepsi Max with all different flavours in it?
Like
strawberry.
What was the one you had? You had a cherry one, didn't you?
I had cherry.
Yeah, cherry's normal, but when you go to like some brand of like restaurants, you can, you know, you get the refills. You go out and they go, oh, you can have Pepsi Max mixed with strawberries.
Shut up! Where? What? Where?
Carvery's, Toby Carvery's.
Oh, Toby Carvery's.
Oh, right, you've got to go for a Toby then.
Not good with you being the vegan.
Before I was vegan, I enjoyed their Brie parcel.
In a rather, you enjoy that now? Sort
of a Brie parcel disgusting.
A Brie parcel. It sounds very euphemistic.
Couldn't you just go and eat the kale or something?
Yeah, she opened her Brie parcel. So it was, but they didn't have... What I do know is in Germany, you can get stuff that is basically... It's like half and half. Half cola, half orangeade.
When I go to those places where you can have half and half, where you can do that, you know, you're like, say, Nandos or something... I always mix
the Greek island,
Greek island Nandos. Yeah. I always mix the orange and the lime and have, you know, orange and lime.
Gosh, you really do live on the edge, Gatford.
It's fun and flirty.
I do.
It's fun and flirty. There's nothing wrong with that. I respect that. I've lost the entire thread of what we were talking.
I have. Do you know what I've got ringing in my ears though?
What?
Brie parcel.
Brie parcel.
I think it's my new favourite euphemism.
I think she's an actress. I could be wrong. Yeah, Toby Carvery's I should go there. I should go with my ex and his family.
I don't like lining up for dinner. It's like being in prison or school.
I think that was the point.
And what experience do you have of being in prison, Kath?
I don't like to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, as we
put that behind me.
Yeah, she's in the contract. No, I think it's comforting though, isn't it? Isn't that quite comforting to some people? It's that thing that it's like old times. I used to go there with my ex and her grandparents and be like, "So we got Chubby Carberry." My heart
that was her voice, was it?
Yeah.
I can see why you're no longer together.
Chubby Carberry, and you can have the Brie Parcel. Oh yeah, that sounds great.
I'd love anything for a Brie Parcel.
I will do anything. I would have. Nowadays, it's like a kale parcel.
Nuts and things.
Yeah, nuts and things.
I quite like kale. I tried those making kale chips and that.
Yeah, we should swap recipes.
Just put salt on it and burn it a bit. That's what I did.
With a lighter. Yeah.
Normally
sucking on the salt.
Cooking up.
Yeah. No.
That's the Gatford way of cooking, burn it and put a bit of salt on it.
Look, I swear to God, this is going to interest no one, but I've got the perfect kale chip recipe and I'm going to share it after the news. Thank you, Gatford, for your contribution this evening.
Pleasure. I'm saluting you as I leave.
Oh, I'm saluting you harder. Thank you very much. That was Gatford. 0844 499 1000 is the
Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Yeah, what you do is you get kale chips, right, and you mix them up with a combination of cashew butter, if you're posh, peanut butter, if you're not, and some soy milk and some nutritional yeast. I'll come on to it later. We haven't got time for that whole recipe now. We've got to do the news. And we've got to talk to Andrea, who's been waiting faithfully for so long. Let's have the latest headlines. It's 11 o'clock.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hey! It's Jake Yap sitting in for Ian Lee for one night only. And it's a delight to have your company. 0844 499 1000 is the number to call. We've been talking about, among other things, when did you last soil yourself? And because of people working on chicken plants in the States, apparently they have to wear nappies because they're not allowed toilet breaks, which seems pretty horrendous. And Well Adrian says on Twitter, hey, good evening. He says, it's at Jake Yap, by the way. JAKEYAPP. And it is my real name. I mean, you wouldn't choose it. He says, a lot of USA casino players wear nappies.
Gosh.
Especially people who play the slot machines. They won't leave when a jackpot is due.
I would say they're not playing games, but they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
They really are taking this thing seriously.
You've got to spend a penny.
Gosh.
To make a penny. So, I've never seen the point of Vegas.
No, I've been once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went with my sister.
Now, are you the sort of person that is surrounded by the sort of people who say, oh, you would love Vegas?
No.
Oh, you would love Vegas? Because that's what happens to me a lot. And I always sort of smile and nod and just think, I don't think I would.
I went and I only gambled $10 and lost it. And that was the end of that. And that was kind of...
a four-second trip.
But I really enjoyed the shows. Enjoyed the shows.
Fabulous.
And I really enjoyed watching people. But we were only there for a weekend and that was quite enough, I think. It's like Blackpool with a bit more money thrown at it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's one street, you know, and away from that. We were staying in a particularly horrible motel. There's about five girls in one room. Mm. And so living the dream, obviously. And it was just, you know, it's a facade. It's, you know, the whole thing is one long strip where it's all glittery, but actually quite murky.
Yeah.
And then back from it, it's just loads of housing estates and things. It's
just a horrible.
Planted in the middle of the desert, you know.
Yeah.
Fun for a couple of days, but then we were done.
Is it really?
Yeah,
I feel no need to go.
We did the slots, and you are generally followed by women in leisure suits, you know, usually with maybe a cat motif with gem eyes, nice. And they would follow you around watching you intently, which one got the money in, and sort of looking at their watches and trying to work out when it was going to pay out. There apparently is a system.
I went to Atlantic City once, and I stopped at a service station on the way down there, and it was full of sort of quite old people. Mm-hmm. Most of them on oxygen.
Yeah. And you sort of thought, there's a lot of scooters.
All kinds of stuff. But like these sort of like cases with tubes going up their nose and stuff. And you thought, did they turn it up when they get near a jackpot? Like, horrendous.
I don't know whether it's an urban myth that they do change the air in casinos to try and make you slightly euphoric. Yeah.
Have you ever breathed oxygen, like just pure oxygen?
Don't know.
It's a bit weird.
Not on purpose.
It's like all of a sudden becoming really alert and really drunk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah, well, apparently that's what they pump into the casinos. And they take all the clocks out, don't they?
Yeah, they take all the clocks out. And then they plip your eyes out with a spoon. Fact. poor Andrea's been waiting for ages to talk to us. Good evening, Andrea.
Good evening.
Good evening. What would you like to talk about?
Oh, a couple of things, really. One was, I think the last time I saw myself was probably about 40 years ago.
Thank you for sharing.
Well, that's good. That's impressive. Yeah. That's a good track record.
Well, it is. I was probably 2 years old, so...
Oh, there you
I
go.
Don't think of a...
Foulage free since...
She's been...
1976.
She's been dry since... That's a good run, so to speak.
That's a very good run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very impressive.
Yeah, had a couple of close calls, I suppose, but other than that... No.
That's what life's about.
Yeah, that's the thrill of it. Likes the thrill of it.
I like running the gauntlet a little bit. Honestly, my mum says I've got a bladder like an elephant. My mum has been ever since I can remember, whenever we go somewhere, before we go, she has to go to the toilet. Once we arrive, she has to go to the toilet. And there'll be about three trips while we're there. Toilet, toilet, toilet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She thinks it's astounding that I can go all day. You know,
that is astounding. Yeah. That's a bit weird.
Well, when I need to go, I sometimes wait a little bit longer just so that it's extra satisfying when I get there. That's a detail no one needed, isn't it?
Strange. That's strange. I have got a thing about going to the toilet in restaurants.
Won't you?
It or you don't?
Yeah.
No, I do. I will go to the toilet in a restaurant before I eat, because if the toilets are dirty
and
they're public areas, I won't eat your food.
I thought you liked some idea of some sort of lavatorial hookup thing. Like, you like the sort of the sleaziness of going to some, you know.
What are you saying, Jack? No, we don't know what you mean.
I don't know. It's some sort of illicit thrill of like cheating on your toilet at home.
Yeah, there is that. Do you know, I know people who won't go outside the home.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
I have a friend of mine, a male friend who I used to work with, would actually leave work and go home and come back. Yeah,
Male friend?
Yeah,
very particular. Because I've had lots of female colleagues who said, not at work, no. I'll go to another floor.
If you've got to go, you've got to go, haven't you? Even better to be paid for it.
I remember getting stuck in a turnstile at Hull train station. I got my bag stuck.
Oh,
and I was absolutely, that was one of the close calls. I was absolutely desperate and my bag got hooked up in the turnstile.
Oh.
And I couldn't get out quick enough.
Oh, and you're panicking as well.
Well, yeah, but there were two staff watching me, you know, nobody offered any help. They just stood there laughing.
Oh, God, and you can't laugh.
Well, I suppose if it had been anybody else, I probably would have done.
No, but you couldn't laugh. You'd have wet yourself.
I know.
Do you know,
definitely.
I've just remembered the time before that I saw myself.
Oh, go on. There's been more than one time.
Oh, loads. No, but so this was like 14 years ago. And that's what my point is, about a month apart.
Gosh.
These two incidents.
You really
were
having a bad time of it.
I was quite traumatic. It was a traumatic time.
Mind you, food in America is a bit funny.
Well, it is funny.
I think they put stuff on. Anyway, I'll tell you about that in a bit. But go on.
Okay. Well, this is before I went, because I went and lived in Washington, D.C., and yeah, I went on a date, and that's when I soiled myself last. But the time before was like a month before, and it was right before I went away.
Right, okay.
And I was kind of like, I was quite young, and, you know, the only thing I knew really about America is I'd only been there like once, fleetingly, and had food poisoning. And that was when I last soiled myself in a really posh hotel on the bed.
Boom.
But anyway... Sorry. Anyway, so fully expecting to go to America, sort of just expecting to die. I just thought, I'll be shot. You know, I've seen all the crime dramas. Mm-hmm. Everyone dies in America. And I was kind of ready. You know, it was a very dark time. And so I thought, well, before I go, I want to say, like, farewell to everything I love. And that includes Wales. Wales is, like, my favourite place on earth, right? Where I found my cat.
Yeah.
It's all coming together.
You rescued it from death.
Yeah. So I went on like a cycling holiday in Wales, right?
Because your bowels.
I know, right? Gosh, we know each other so well. So, but I went and I had this idea. It was all sort of very romantic. And I was cycling with panniers with a little tiny tent, a little two-man tent.
Gosh.
And like just one change of clothes. And I cycled up from Brecon up to Rhyoder and into the Elan Valley to this place called Comistwith, which I just adore. Went there when I was like nothing high and all the rest of it. And I thought, how idyllic. I'll camp just like I used to when I was tiny, you know, because I'm going to go to America and I'm going to get shot. So I went there and I cycled. And, you know, it's a really hard cycle because it's over mountains and down. And it was like, I did like 70 miles that day on my mountain bike. And I had to push it up the very steepest bits. And I couldn't even push the bike up. It was so laden with this tent and stuff. So I finally come down into this valley and it's idyllic. It's beautiful. Sort of sunny evening. And I knock on the door of the farm and I say, is it okay if I camp here? I used to camp here. And the woman said, yes, you can camp here.
And did the
voice. I wish I'd self-centered in time, but I wasn't. and I said, okay, great. And she said, mind you, it's quite cold in the evenings. I said, all right. How cold?
Sounds like the beginning of one of those films.
She's like, about -2, -3.
Would you like to snuggle up with me? Yeah.
-2, -3, something like that. I was like, oh my, no, she didn't say that. And I would have taken her up on that.
Films.
I would have taken her up on that. So you're way ahead of me. So I think, oh, well, it'll be fine. So I get into the tent. And because I'm on my bike, right, I haven't got a mattress. I haven't got one of those foam roll things or anything. I didn't even have a sleeping bag. I don't know. I had one nightlight.
You're like Bear Grylls on a bike.
Well, no, because I was hopeless. So I'm lying there and I'm thinking, I'm going to die in here. Like, I could see my breath was like thick coils of condensation. I thought, I'm going to die. Like, people freeze to death, right? Mm-hmm. How do I know if I fall asleep? I might die. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, God, I'm going to have to do something.
This is a really cheery story.
So it got to, like, it got to about like 9:30, 10:00 at night. And I just thought, I can't do this. I will die if I fall asleep in here. I'm so cold. I put on every stitch of clothing I had. I'd torn up carrier bags and was wearing them on my body to try and keep myself warm. I thought, I can't do this. So I go over to the farmhouse and I knock on the door and I'm going to say to them, look.
You're right about it being cold.
I was, yeah, exactly. A, you're right about it being cold. B, what if you offered for me to snuggle up? Or C, as a final result, you know, I'll give you all the money I've got to just let me sleep on your lounge floor, anything, because I think I might die out here. I'm not sure. Because I don't know what happens if you sleep in -3.
Yeah, I think you do die, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was, anyway.
Hypothermia happens, that's what happens.
So I knock on the door and there's a light on, but they don't answer the door. They don't answer the door. And I'm in this valley and there is nothing for miles. Mm-hmm. And I think,
which is why they're not answering the door, Mad Axeman territory.
Right, exactly. So I think, I've got to go. So I pack up the tent and everything in the dark, in the middle of this valley,
just to
in
keep warm.
Pitch darkness. And I load up my bike. My legs are now jelly. But before I go, I think, I've got to have a pee. So, townie that I am, I think, well, I'll just pee in the middle of this meadow, right? Because there's no one here.
It's just the countryside.
Pro tip, okay? Pro tip, if you're thinking of having a pee in the middle of a field in the dark, just lick the tip of your finger, hold it in the air. Pro tip, ascertain which way the wind's blowing.
Anyway, that warmed you up, I dare say.
Momentarily. And then I could feel the onset of early exposure.
Gosh.
So, well, just to finish the story, then I'm cycling through this valley with this little pencil beam of light ahead of me. And I know what's in this valley. There's these abandoned mines and stuff and like houses with like ghostly derelict windows. Like it's terrifying. Mm. It's creepy during the day on a sunny day. In the middle of the night, knowing it's terrifying. And I think, oh, which way should I go? There's a fork in the road. If I go left, it's
certain death.
It takes, well, if I go left, it takes me to Tregaron, right, where I don't know if there's a hotel. If I go right, I know there's a hotel there. There's no mobile phone signal in this valley, right, so I can't do anything. If I go right, I know there's a hotel there, but I'm going to a place called Devil's Bridge. In the middle of the night, man, frightened and covered in
your own wings,
pee, right?
Pee, yeah.
And my legs are jelly. I've done 70 miles up and down mountains.
Wow, you're an idiot.
I am an idiot. So I start going up this mountain and I go feral. Suddenly I see like the lights of a Jeep coming down.
Like Ben Gunn.
Coming down. Well, yeah. They're coming down and I sort of think, oh, brilliant. You know, there's a car. And then I think, no, they're going to be Mad Axemen.
Of course they are.
So I actually...
You hid.
I pick up my butt. I hid in the trees. I went and hid in the trees.
What do you think they were? The Black Riders?
Completely... I don't know, right? We go through... There's this tiny little hamlet on the way. And I think maybe there'll be a bed and breakfast here. So I'm cycling along with this little cheep, cheep, cheep. My bike squeaking. And this pencil beam of light. And I see like lights on in one house. And all I can see is this guy doing... I'll just do the action for you, Kath. He's doing this like...
Oh no!
In the winter, I think he's
slicing a body.
He's tanning the skin of a hiker. There's no question. So I try to keep going. The fear keeps going, and then I go up to the top of this mountain. I get there, and like I start freewheeling back down again, and then it goes up again and down again. But I don't want to hit the brakes because I know it's going to go back up again. So I want to get as much
momentum
preserved as I can. So I go screaming down this mountain because I don't know if it's the beginning of the downhill bit of the mountain.
When you're doing
now.
This, are your legs sticking straight out?
Pretty much. And right. I'm shouting "we" because I'm covered in it. And you go, I went through this archway. There's this old stone archway, just derelict. And it says, "Welcome to Devil's Bridge." I go round the corner and I have a milometer, a speedometer on my thing. It's at 40 miles an hour in pitch darkness on my bike. 40 miles an hour. I go round the corner and there's a badger in the middle of the road.
The devil's badger.
The devil's badger. And if that's not a euphemism. So I swerved it. I avoided it. I got to the hotel. I knocked on the door. No one would answer the hotel door. But there's phone signal. So I phone the hotel and someone answers. I say, hello, putting on my best middle class voice. Like, hello, I'm not a threat at all.
I'm English. Not a,
hello.
Clearly.
Hello, I'm not an axe murderer. Could I come and stay in your hotel? And the guy goes, well, no, see, I'm the night porter. See? I was like, could I please? It's so cold.
Could I please not die?
Yeah, please don't let me die. And he's like, no, well, sorry, no. I'm like, you're the other side of the door. I can hear your voice through it. No, I'm sorry. I can't help you. I phone a bed and breakfast there. They won't help me. Finally, a guy comes all the way from Aberystwyth, 30 miles away in a massive MPV. He throws my bike into the back of it and finds me a hotel.
Rescued.
And that was the end of my cycling holiday.
At what point did you explain to him what the smell was?
I said it was foxes. Oh, they loved my bike. Anyway, Andrew, I'm sorry. I was totally...
Are you all right, Andrew? Do you need to go to the loo? Are you okay?
Yeah.
No, it's all right. I'm quite all right at the moment.
Are you okay? We could come and get a catheter put in or something.
No, they're painful.
Well, are they? Because I've had one, but I was epiduralized at the time, so they could have done anything.
Yeah, they pretty much did. You put the cath into...
No, well, I was anaesthetised under general anaesthetic when it went in, but when it came out, it hurt.
Oh,
yowza!
Ha ha!
Yeah.
Well, there we are. On that leg crossing...
Was that everything, Andrea?
Yeah, have we covered everything, or should we hold you over the break?
No, I think that's everything.
Brilliant. I'm glad we've had this little chat.
I've thought a little.
Oh, now she pressed her panic button. She pressed her panic button. Andrea, thank you so much for being so patient and for talking to us this evening.
It's okay.
All right, take care. That was Andrea. 0844 499 1000. It doesn't have to be lavatorily related, but we'll
but
be
it
back.
Helps.
It does help. We'll be back after the break. Yes, indeedy. I'm dying to ask, have you ever activated your own compost? But it's
what
just
does
so...
that mean?
Have you ever put your wee on your compost?
No. What kind of pervert are
neither
you?
Neither am I. No, God, no. I'd never do that. Simon, hello. Thanks for calling 0844 499 1000, which I forgot to give out.
Hi, Jake.
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I thought you missed a trick earlier when you were talking to Sherlock.
Oh, yeah? Oh, God. Do I need to get the dump button ready in a very prosaic way?
Yeah, well, I thought you... When he said he didn't have a poo for a while, you could have said no.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
Yeah, no dump. No dump.
Sherlock.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I did miss... I'm missing all kinds of... I'm just Tharn right now. It's a big show. You've waited
so... That was pretty much it. I've hung on a very long time.
20 minutes you waited to get that out.
To squeeze that out, yeah.
I did tell them just to tell you.
Oh
no! It's lovely to talk to you. Are you a Eurovision fan? Because we were talking about that earlier.
No,
I did
accidentally poo myself last year, though.
Oh,
there
did you?
We're in.
Okay, yeah. Tell me.
I was very ill, and I came to my front door. I just got home, put the key in the door, and had an accident.
So near and yet so far.
Yeah,
that's
straight
the thing.
In the shower.
You know, like they
threw
say,
all those clothes away.
Did you? You threw them away. Did you?
Yeah.
Did you burn them?
No. Just
you left them for the bin, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor bin man.
Stand up.
Did you take them to a charity shop?
No, they went in the bin.
There's a special smell in some charity shops, isn't there?
I think that's old people, is it not?
Now you can't come on now. Just whoa there. But
not
sometimes, it is a bit racist. It's you know they say that like most accidents. They happen close to home. It's the same.
It is. It's that moment of thinking you've almost made it is
yeah,
when
yeah,
you
yeah.
release.
The minute you
My
relax.
Kids have that all the time. Well, not all the time. They're pretty good now. But when it happens, it's because they've just about clinched it.
Yeah.
Not quite in time.
Clinch is the word.
Yeah. Clinch. Very painful.
When did you last do that stiff-legged walk? You know the one? I'm sorry.
Which one?
This is like potty.
There's a few different ones.
Is that the Space Invaders walk when you've not got any toilet paper?
No, no, it's this one. You ready? It's where you run a bit, like you run around, then you go. Do you know that one?
The too late walk.
Well, not quite too late, but yeah, at this rate.
I don't know.
0844-499-1000. Your thoughts on Brexit, please. But you know, it's nice of you to share because you know we're all human and we all do it, don't we?
Yes.
Queen doesn't.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks, Simon. Thanks for having. Thanks for calling. It's very kind of you. 0844-499-1000 is the number to call. It's funny, you were talking about the Queen.
Yeah.
She won 50 quid's worth of Tesco vouchers.
Yeah, and the look on her face. She loves winning, doesn't she?
She loves winning. Well, she was born a winner.
Well, yeah, but maybe when you're born a winner, you don't appreciate it. It's the little things. So, Tom Bowlers, I bet she loves.
Every little. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bet she loves a round of Old Maid.
I bet she does.
I bet she does. And I bet she loves Drinking Game.
Oh, I would love to see her win a tombola.
Fuzzy Duck.
Don't even start. Thank God for dump buttons. Well, we were wondering what she'd spend the £50 on in Tesco's. You went for Prosecco, right?
I reckon a Prosecco. Everyone's into Prosecco now, right?
I was thinking... Cause
or gin.
Everything sort of coalesced amazing. Because I was thinking Tenor Lady. But not for it. Or... This is a slightly more left field. Marzipan.
Why?
I don't know. I could just imagine her just chewing. You know those big baking blocks?
I'm partial, but it's a divider, isn't it, marzipan?
It is. I reckon she's well up for it.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Probably. They make quite a lot of posh puddings out of marzipan, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Because it's easily mouldable.
I think. Isn't that what you stuff swans with?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, not for the likes of me.
Not
is it?
For the likes
or you,
of you.
Or you.
Well, obviously, I buy fake swan. I soy swan. I don't know what I'm talking about now. 0844-499-1000. To dig us out of this hole, let's talk to Donna.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Do you know what? There's a lovely northern theme brewing on this programme.
It's nice, isn't it?
It might all be related or something.
Probably are.
Probably are. And what did you want to talk about, Donna?
Well, the trail, of course. What else?
I keep throwing other things out there.
Lavatorial quite a lot anyway, so...
You are lavatorial, did you say?
I do talk very lavatorial all the time anyway, so...
Do you? And where do you work, Donna?
I work with the elderly.
Oh, yeah. Well. It's going to crop up, isn't it?
You don't know, no. She might be, I don't know, she might be a travel agent for Saga. You're assuming that she's...
Yeah, well, what's the first question going to be? Are there toilets on the plane?
Yeah, there's no toilets in here.
That's
me, though.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's just me.
Sally, you sound like me, Mum.
So are you, you're a bit easy with your lavatorial habits.
Oh,
you'll go
yeah.
anywhere.
Very easy with, yeah.
Where's the strangest place you've been? And when we did strangest place, you've done something else earlier in the week.
Well, I've got a story, really. A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'd come back from a friend's birthday party. I'd had a bit too much to drink.
There's a theme running through these. Go on.
Had a bit too much to drink, went to bed, and then I woke up sort of midway through the night, still drunk, and I was thinking, I can smell something.
Oh, no!
Oh.
And I thought, I put my foot in something squishy.
Oh, OK.
Donna!
Standing by with the dump button.
Donna Dollop.
Well, and then I realised, I went to the toilet, and obviously, it was like looking, and then I thought, God, it really smells.
Oh,
but then I realised it wasn't me, it was the cat.
Oh, thank God.
And I thought, oh, God, thank God for that.
But you weren't sure, and that's the shocker.
You know, I've just turned 40, you know, and I thought, well, you know, is this what happens when you turn 40?
I love it that the first...
I've been thinking about those tenor lady things as well, thinking, well, when... When do you start wearing those?
Well, you know when.
Yeah.
But I love the way your first reaction was, it must be me that did that.
I think that's very sweet. It shows that you're a very concerned and responsible citizen, that you're always ready to take responsibility like that.
Yeah. And then I realise it's a cat for thing. He's getting on a bit now.
They should do tenor for cats.
Yeah, they should.
Be fiver. Yeah. At least a fiver. Yeah,
that's it, really. That's nice.
Well, let that be a lesson to you not to get yourself in that state in future, or if you do, make sure the cat is thoroughly emptied before you go out.
Yeah.
There you go. This is adorable. We have to move on. Donna, thank you so much for talking to us this evening.
Share that with you.
Weirdest show ever. 0844 499 1000. We have to move away from lavatory. We have to, don't we?
I don't think we can go any further, can we?
Well, I was just going to talk about... So, my cats, right? Oh, I sound like a mad old cat man, don't I? Amazing difference, isn't there, between the sort of visual images conjured when you say cat lady and cat woman.
Yes.
Amazing the difference.
Anyway, but one must turn into the other.
Exactly. I like to see, yeah, never mind doing all these Batman prequels. They should do it like, you know, 50 years into the future. Yeah. Where Batman's got like a Zimmer frame and, you know, takes it easy. And
Catwoman's...
Catwoman is now a cat
lady. Let herself go, yeah.
Yeah, with a smock.
She doesn't know. No, she's still wearing it. She doesn't know. There's a certain kind of woman who they stay dressed, like Pat Butcher, they stay dressed in the way where they were most comfortable and sexy.
Right.
Right, so I reckon Catwoman's one of those.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. You're probably right. My cat, so this is so tedious if you don't like cats. Anyway, so not Blod the Welsh cat that I adopted that I found in a barn. But
the sad cat.
The sad one that missed his sister when she got hit by a car. He came in one day and he was a Maine Coon. He still is a Maine Coon. He's a big, fluffy, fluffy cat. And
they look like kind of wild cats, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, really big. And he came in and it was like it had been winter, like, and his fur would get really thick in winter. And he came in. Well, I was asleep. He came in through the cat flap and I woke up. I thought, wow, someone's roasting coffee in the house. No, it's more acrid than that. No, my nose hairs are actually being scorched off because there's nothing like it, right? That smell. But it was, he'd been to the loo.
Right.
But, he wasn't very clean.
Yeah.
He had tagged my flat.
Oy.
Like everywhere. Radiators, walls, sofas, you name it, man. He tagged it. It was deliberate. You could just imagine just going, yeah. All over the... this is disgusting.
This is my pad.
Very much so. It was like a lino print. 0844 499 1000. We'll be back after this. It's a sculpture. It's Jake Capp sitting in for Ian Lee tonight. Now, we were talking about the Queen and how much she likes eating marzipan. That's made up. That's not true necessarily, although she might love it. I'm a bit obsessed with Bake Off creme de la creme.
Yeah.
And
some people don't like that because they say it's too posh and it's not proper, you know, it's not real people doing it. It's masters of the art.
Yeah.
Of piling food up.
Well, we were talking about, you were talking about, what was it you were talking about? Something
Cherish is
you
evil.
You enjoy something that's annoying. What was it that you don't like or something? Do you remember? Well, I can't remember what it was.
I like watching programmes that annoy me.
No,
yeah.
So I was saying that. You were saying you like reading certain papers.
Oh, yeah. And you know which ones.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail irritates the flip out of me, but right. I do love it.
Yeah.
Just for,
feel the burn. So it's the same for me with TV shows. And Bake Off Creme de la Creme is a prime example of a show that it's got some good qualities, but it's got some absolutely maddening qualities to it.
Like that woman.
So you're not crazy about...
Well, I am. I kind of love her, but she's flipping out. You wouldn't want to test in your stuff, would you?
Cherish Finden.
Yeah. She measures stuff.
And yeah, with a ruler, yeah.
And sticks her finger in your mixture and says, oh, that's got too much gelatin in it. I mean, flipping out. Just wait till my cake's done. Back up.
Yeah. When it's ready, I'll tell you. Has the whistle gone? No. Well, shut up.
The thing is, these are not amateurs. This is not their first rodeo, Charlotte. It's actually their job. So they know what they're doing. Back up and let them create.
How do you feel about Tom Kerridge?
Is he the bald one?
He is the host. He is the one who stands there.
Yeah.
Slightly awkward.
I like his efforts.
I like his box. He's always wearing box fresh trainers. That is a fresh pair at every show. And he stands there. But there's something about him when he talks and he's like, you can tell he's a really lovely guy.
Yeah.
There's no question he's a lovely guy.
He's trying to be helpful, isn't he?
And he's trying to be helpful. But he stands there and he's like,
Chefs, you have 3 hours to prepare 9,457 completely identical frangipans.
And Cherish will be measuring them.
And because I don't like playing horrible, even though this is like sort of a bit like MasterChef and that, I am trying to soften it by tipping my head on one side. And it's sort of like I'm asking you, do I look pretty in my new dress? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has that look of, do I look
too
pretty?
Short.
Am I the prettiest? Do you like my bonnet? He looks like he's wearing a bonnet, yeah. Which is weird because he's like, he hasn't even got any hair. But he looks like he's wearing a bonnet. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's got a shiny halo of goodness.
You've got, but you, I mean, it's a sea of funny accents, right? Because
don't do all the voices.
I'm not going to do all the voices. You've got him. You've got Cherish. You've got Benny Blin. Benoit Blanc.
Oui.
He was a French with a very strong accent.
What does he look like?
He looks beautiful. He's got the steely blue eyes and the short.
Ooh,
apparently, he's been styled quite a lot.
Has he? Or used to be a bit rough around the edges.
Well, apparently he looks and he's trying to do the whole hardball judge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he's quite jolly.
Right.
He's quite jolly, sort of normally.
Fun guy, Benoit.
Yeah. Benoit, Benny Blin. And then you got Claire Clark, who just sits there in the middle and really likes squaddies. Did you notice that? She was all over the squaddies that week. Anyway, Mike, it's a sea of funny accents.
Mm.
And what's difficult is watching Tom Kerridge
sort
of trying to pick his way through all the accents. And he's like, he's one of those people that he sort of takes on. If you say something and you mispronounce it, he'll repeat it and mispronounce it because, you know,
he's
it's that thing if
nice.
He's trying to establish a rapport with you, right?
Yeah.
So he does that thing, except for the word sfogliatelle, right? Which is some pastry thing, like, because they're all these insanely elaborate pastries. Sfogliatelle.
All right.
Right? And the thing is, he's standing next to Benny Blin, Benoit Blanc. This Frenchman who says sfogliatelle, when you make the sfogliatelle, it's very important that the pastry is dry, but not too dry, and blah, blah. He's got this beautiful accent. I wish he'd do audiobooks.
Yeah.
And so over and over again, he's hearing all three judges talk about sfogliatelle.
What
so
does he say? Go
they
on.
Filmed the show. They filmed the show. It's in the can. A few weeks later, he's in the voiceover booth, and he's reading out the voiceover to go in between the bits of the show where they're talking.
Yeah.
And he's listening as he reads out these bits of voiceover. He's listening to Benny Blin saying sfogliatelle and all the others saying sfogliatelle. And then in the voiceover, having just heard that, he says, they've got to make 36 sfogliatelles. It's like, you were there on the day. You just heard it. But this is my question.
Mm.
Maybe, is he right to do that? Because is it not slightly excruciating?
Yes.
When people say, you know, at the weekend we went to Madrid. And all that. Do you speak Spanish, right?
Yeah. So when I was a newsreader, that was it was awful because my inclination would be to pronounce the names properly.
Right.
So, for example, everyone here, and I heard on Talk Sport, they refer to, there's a football manager, ex-football manager now it appears, called, they call him Martinez, don't they?
You're very up on the football there.
Well, I just hear it a lot.
Yeah. Martinez.
They're loud. Yeah, his name is Martinez.
Martinez, that's
yeah,
what I said.
Everyone calls him Martinez, but it's Martinez.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's what I said, Martinez.
But you know what I mean? So I was I thought, oh yeah, I know how to pronounce it properly. Am I letting everyone down by not pronouncing properly? Or am I making myself sound like a div?
Exactly.
But you would not say, I'm going to Paris for the weekend.
No, you would not.
Or
you would, but you'd end up with a black eye.
Yeah, and you wouldn't say, I went to Barcelona. You wouldn't say that. It would make you sound like a... It's very difficult. But the other thing I've noticed is the French accent is something that a lot of people, and Italian, is Gino da Campo.
Yeah. Gino da Campo?
That's their thing, isn't it? And women love it, of course.
They ham it up because it works.
If that was the reverse, and I've lived in Paris and one of my lecturers rang up once and my Parisian, very sophisticated, not easily flapped, unflappable woman, heard a message left by a very elderly, very average-looking bloke with a very strong English accent speaking French. And he was like, it was literally, bonjour, Catherine, je vous appelle pour demander si tu vas.
Instead of?
Bonjour Catherine. Well, anyway, but he was making no effort whatsoever. She thought that accent was the sexiest thing going. I went, you are kidding me,
nuts,
aren't you?
Isn't it?
So actually, when you think about it, the Jean-Christophe Novelli and all these people.
Go on.
They're not trying at all, are they?
And flipping yet,
I met that man.
There we go.
At my old job, he used to live nearby. And he came in a couple of times. My goodness me, ladies, that man has got a power that you cannot see on the television. I mean, he's already an attractive man on TV. He's quite an attractive man.
You're asking me to...
Oh, come on. I mean, even...
He's no Benny Blynn.
Well, he's a...
And he's no Tom Kerridge in his best bonnet.
He's a fine-looking fella. And there's no doubt denying it. Anyway, but in real life, oh, my God. He's about 6 foot... 5, I'd say.
Blimey.
And, you know...
You wouldn't fit in here.
But very cool, you know, he talks like this.
Very cool.
I couldn't speak. That doesn't happen to me. I can always speak.
Yeah.
Couldn't speak.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. A very weird...
How did he smell? Moment.
Oh, he smelled gorgeous.
Of course he smelled good.
Yeah. But he was a bit miserable.
Was it chip fat?
Might have been. But yeah, he had a special power.
And yet, if you had seen him on Children in Need about 15 years ago... I think it would have killed the magic. He was trying to sing a song. There were like four of them.
Oh,
like
no, don't sing.
Raymond Blanc and all the others. And they were kind of...
You mean Ray Blanc?
Ray Blanc. You know Ray Blanc. Yeah. All right, Ray.
It's like Antonio Banderas. Do you know what Antonio Banderas is Spanish for?
No.
Because he was born there. But his name is Anthony Flags.
Anthony Flags.
Tony Flags.
All right, Tony Flags, yeah. I'll do your movie.
It kills it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like Joe Green. Yeah. Giuseppe Verdi.
Yeah, or Julian Churches.
Julian Churches, who's that?
Julio Iglesias.
Oh.
In fact, it's July Church.
July Churches.
Yeah. Henry Churches' son, of course.
So should we do it? That's the question. Should you make the effort? If you're talking quite, I don't know, 0844 499 1000. I'm torn on this because I speak French and I feel like...
There's a moment, isn't there, where you have to decide, make the decision.
And it just makes you wince when you hear someone go for it. But then it makes you wince if they don't go for it.
Yeah.
Tom Kerridge, he couldn't win. I've realised he couldn't win.
No.
It was like a Schrodinger's cat moment for him. Either way, he was dead to me. Poor man.
Gosh.
But did you like the show?
Which
Bake
show?
Bake Off, Creme de la Creme.
I like it, but I couldn't eat that stuff. It's too messed about with. There's fingers all over it.
There are fingers all over
it. All over it?
Yeah.
I prefer donut with... That's it, and then it's not messed about with.
Well, I think it's been violated in ways that none of those slices have been.
But it's not been, you know, measured and piled up and, you know, poured out for ages. You couldn't serve anything hot, could you, in those kitchens? Flipping heck.
No.
Messed about with.
No, it was.
But that seems to be the thing these days, to pile things up. That's how you show that you're not just a cook, you're a chef. You pile things up.
It's all very phallic, isn't it? And it's all very male and phallic.
And you don't pour sauce, you skid it.
We're trying to move on. We're trying to move on. Yeah, I don't know. Do you pronounce foreign words all English-like, or do you go for it? Do you go all out? 0844-499-1000. I'm curious.
And has anyone ever found your accent sexy?
Yes, when I was in the States. I'd be ringing up, and it was always when I called like utilities companies.
Did you not John Cleese it up a bit though when you're in the States?
Well, you totally.
Just for clarity.
You totally, like, it's different. Like, if you're in France or Spain or whatever, like, you have to speak their language. Mm-hmm. So you kind of go into
although in France they go, I think it's better if you speak French.
If we speak English, because you're sick.
Because you're so rubbish.
Parisians are unintelligible. Yeah. I can understand French, but not Parisians.
They put quoi on the end of everything.
Moi, c'est dur quoi. Bof. Moi, bof. Bof. You could honestly pass for a Parisian if you just walked around shrugging and saying bof. That's my top tip. but when you go to the States, you have to try and find your own sort of way, because everyone's talking the same language as you, but slightly differently. And it's really hard to remember what your actual accent is.
And the other thing is, you've watched American films. It would appear they've not watched that many English films. So we know what a garbage can is. We know what that is, okay?
Yeah,
so
they don't know what it is.
They don't know what a rubbish bin is.
Exactly. I'll explain how I nearly died of thirst in America after this. Yes, indeed. It's a delight to be here, sitting in for Ian Lee for one night only. We're talking about, should you pronounce foreign words like a foreign person, or should you just do it like an English person? Because it just seems like a bit embarrassing.
Wee-wee.
Sorry?
Wee-wee. Just doesn't sound
Ed,
right.
If you need a break, just take it. You just had a whole advert break to do that. Wee-wee. But it's a delight to be here. 0844 499 1000 is the number to call. I sort of feel like I've sort of become Talk Radio's unofficial supply teacher, really.
Jake Yap.
Talk Radio's official supply teacher.
We'll get you talking.
Can I have everyone please calm? Now you, what's your name? Nicki Minaj. Right, how'd you spell that?
Talk Radio.
0844 499 1000 is the number to call. Let's talk to Katya.
Hello. What happened there with the sound bites?
I threw it in. I thought it'd be fun and jazzy. I won't do it again. I apologise.
Thank you.
Okay. It's good to know it worked. Are you from Belgium? Is that right?
Yes, I am. However, I'm not really ringing about Belgium's boring. Really.
It's not boring. I really hate it when people do that whole thing about Belgium.
No, well, it's boring in the grand scheme of things, I guess.
Is it? Didn't you invent chips? I mean, God.
Yes, that's it. That's the only thing we did.
Chocolate, beer. It's the home of the EU. That's interesting. I can't say anything about it, but it's interesting.
The Smurfs?
The Smurfs! I mean, Tintin!
Yeah?
Asterix?
Oh, no.
Have I got that one wrong?
Man Bites Dog?
Man Bites Dog?
Yeah?
Yeah, well...
That was really good.
It's a fun weekend. So
I miss Belgium now.
You miss Belgium?
Yeah, that's your fault.
I'm sorry.
You're reminding me of all the good things.
It's a great place. I've been there. I almost my first girlfriend was from Belgium.
Oh.
And I used to... I visited her once and then vowed never again because it was a bit of a funny family. They lived near Gand.
Oui.
See, I should have said Ghent. This is the whole point. They lived near Ghent.
Uh-huh.
And every meal was the same. We'd sit round the table and it was me and her and her younger brother, who was called Pascal. And the mother, who had this sort of face like a mouth pinched together like a cat's bum, and a dad who was this sort of quite stocky guy with quite a lot of not very latent aggression in him. And we'd sit there sort of more or less in silence. And then Pascal, the younger brother, would sort of do something like flick some food or something. And the father would say, Pascal, je t'ai. And Pascal would then swear at him or shout at him or something. And the guy would shout, Pascal! And then he'd chase him literally round the table. He would chase it. It was like The Simpsons, done in Belgium. And then he'd chase him up the stairs and you'd hear this, crash! That is literally... And the mother would carry on like trying to push food through her little cat's bum mouth. And I'd try not to make eye contact with anyone. Is that a standard Belgian setup?
You're pretty much, yeah.
Amazing.
Do you understand why I'm here now?
So what did you want to talk about, Katie?
Yes, I'm really, not really, a little bit intrigued by the vegan lifestyle.
Are you?
Yes, no, I find it fascinating.
Do you mean we should be put in zoos? Is that?
No. I'm thinking maybe I should take the plunge as well.
I think you should take the plunge. Okay. It sounds like you're ready to take the plunge.
How do you know?
Well, because rather than me hectoring you the way vegans always do, you're the one opening this conversation up.
Oh, okay.
And that's, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Why are you interested in becoming vegan?
Many reasons, really. Well, for the world.
Right.
Yeah.
For the environment?
Yes, that's good.
Yeah, because, you know, you could fly 100 miles... instead of eating a steak. It's the same amount of emissions, CO2 emissions.
Okay.
Which is handy for Belgium, right? It's about 100 miles.
If I were to eat a steak...
Yeah.
It's like... So if I eat a steak, I'm going places, is it?
What I'm saying is it's the equivalent. Eating a steak has the same environmental impact in terms of CO2 emissions as flying 100 miles.
That's a long way.
Kath is looking at me like, yeah, oh, God.
I've heard strange things.
Let's go back to the poos and wheeze. So it's a good idea for the environment. It's a great idea. It uses a tenth of the land to raise food, like cereals, instead of meat. Yeah. Mm.
Katya.
Yes?
Thank you for my book. I've just found the post.
Oh, there you go.
She sent me a book that's, I mean, I don't know why you would think of me with something called Stupor and Tremblings.
Oh, yes. Stupor et Tremblement.
Voilà.
Well, is it filth? I'm hoping so. Oh!
No, it's not filth. It?
The first funny. Thing I've opened.
yeah. Like the picture.
La vibration atteignit sa poitrine puis se gossier.
I know what sa poitrine is.
No, and vibration atteignit. So, the vibration attained.
Mm-hmm.
Her chest, prison gossier. What's a gossier?
Prison gossier.
It's not her, is it?
I can't remember that.
Should we have dumped?
I don't know.
Do a French dump.
Anyway, thanks very much. I should be
here. Is it G-O-S-S-I-E-R?
G-O-S-I-E-R.
Ah,
gossier.
Son gossier.
C'est quoi?
Ah, le gosier, c'est à l'intérieur de la gorge, son gosier.
Oh, her breast, and then her throat. This is very promising. Carry on, Jake. I'll just be over here.
Is this one of your favourite books, Katia?
It's well thumbed.
It is well thumbed, isn't it?
It falls open at certain pages.
Come on, what page? Give you. Let's do a live. We'll do a live translation here. It falls open at page 76. hang on, I can't read that.
What about my vegan journey, though?
Sorry, yes, your vegan journey. I should be trying to recruit you. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. But here's the question.
Yes.
What do you do about honey? What's your position on honey?
I'm glad you've asked me that question.
What is your position on honey?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an interesting question. Most vegans don't eat honey.
Because they farm bees.
Because, well, here's the thing, right? I have slightly mixed feelings on honey.
Okay.
In as much as...
It's so delicious.
Locally produced honey on a small scale by someone who's just got a few beehives in his garden or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of okay with. Because what happens is you have the hive and you put your bees in the hive. The bees, they look at it and they sort of size it up. You know, like a builder goes, right, I'm going to need some 8x10, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They do the same. They look at the hive interior and they go, right, okay, we'll fill it up with honey.
This is their decision.
Well, the bees see that as their environment and they assume that this is the hive size that needs to be fed.
Right.
Right. So they look at it and go, right, we better fill this up with honey. So out they go and they fill it up with honey. Then you, as their kind of landlord, take
the rent.
You take about 10-20% of the honey
right.
as your rent. You don't take all of it because they have to live off it.
Yeah.
So you take that as rent.
Mm. Have you ever heard it explained like this, Katya?
Commercial honey production. What they do is they take the same number of bees and they basically put them inside a massive silo.
So they're working their little backsides off.
The bees look at it and they go, oh my God, we've got to fill this up for the hive.
Wow.
This is the hive. We've got to fill it up. And they will literally work themselves to death to fill it up. And we all love the bees, right?
Yeah.
So that's the honey story. I'm sorry.
Bad.
It's not as good as Amelie Nothomb. Please, we're British. Stupeur et tremblement.
Gosh, it's the reason I learnt French, these books. I mean, flipping heck.
For the dirty.
For the filth. Did you ever read Baudelaire?
I didn't read Baudelaire.
He was another one. I used to love all those poets.
Was it rude?
Well, no. it was all sexy.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Her noises are the best, aren't they?
Do you eat a lot of meat then, Katya?
No, I wouldn't say a lot, probably twice a week.
Well, that's well. Then just sleep through those days, and then you're vegan. It's done. What do you like? Because this is tricky. Like, if you're from the continent, push his glasses up nose. Do you like your cheeses?
No, not yeah. Okay, I can't. I've given a cheese for a month or so. Quite recently, actually, just to see if I could resist.
How was it?
It was hard, but I managed.
Yeah. What was it, Baby Bell? That stuff is
no,
so Moorish.
Baby Bell, it's not
cheese. It's not cheese.
No, that's so not... Gallic. My French friend's dad used to. I used to like this one called Caprice de Dieu. Have you seen that one? It's basically what he said. It's cheese we give to babies. It's like mini Brie. Caprice de Dieu.
Caprice de Dieu. I used to love cheese before I turned vegan. I've been vegan for about 5 years.
Can you not get something cheese-ish?
Yeah, there's like... Tesco now sells like 5 different kinds of cheese.
And has it got a funny texture, though? Is it rubbery?
Yes, it's lovely. No, it's... there are different ones. There are ones that melt. There are ones that work as a hard cheese.
Right.
There are different ones. So it's a piece of cake now. But I did, for a long time, I used to love... I take it like a good, ripe... Camembert, you know,
a real stinker.
You know, and I never mind eating. I just smear it over my breasts. Like you don't need to eat that for the experience. I loved it, and so it was really hard. But what I found is, if you can do, like you've done a month, if you can do, I would say one more month,
yeah,
maybe another 6 weeks without cheese.
I'm in there.
You're right in there.
Okay. What about the cat? Because I have to feed him.
Yeah,
cat
you do.
Food.
You do. Well, here's my realist.
He's not made the decision to go vegan, has he?
No, right. Exactly. And I think it's a bit dodgy imposing that on a cat. The whole world is not going to go vegan overnight.
No.
So there's still going to be animal byproducts, which you can just put into little sachets and cover in nasty jelly and squeeze out.
But that's my reason for being a carnivore. It's dead anyway. Let's not waste it.
Well, it's not dead anyway. It's been bred for you.
Yeah, but that's been bred to be dead.
You're right. It's a grey area. I'm not going to lie to you. All these people say, oh, what about you? You're not perfect vegan. There is no such thing as perfect veganism. You know, there's weevils in your flour. Where are you going to draw the line? It's about trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. And at the moment, you know, I've got a cat who he's hungry and
he's got
he has
no morals.
He's got mood swings and he likes to mess people up. Big time. I think you should try it, Katia. I think you should. Yeah. I can give you some top tips, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I could do my kale recipe.
Oh, gosh, here we go.
Kale chips. It's really easy, right? Bag of kale. And then in a blender, like in a stick blender, like in a pot, you mix up cashew butter, soy milk.
Whoa, Nigella. Oh. Cashew butter.
It's like peanut butter.
Know. We don't all live in London, you know.
Oh, here we go. I don't live in London. You know that damn well. cashew butter's like, it's a good friend to a vegan.
Do you have to go to flipping Holland and Barrett's?
No, you can get it in all the supermarkets. You know all the supermarkets.
Really?
Look, an hour ago I tried to do this and I didn't get it in time for the news. You mix it up. Soy milk, some cashew butter, smoked paprika, garlic powder if you want to, if you like it funky and nasty. You use, what are they called? Yeast flakes, nutritional yeast flakes. It's basically like desiccated verrucas. You stir that in, you mix it all up in the blender, and then you massage it into your kale, and then you put it into your food dehydrator, which you bought a couple of years ago because you've gone fully hippie.
All right, Heston.
Katia, we have to leave it there.
Okay.
Do it. Go vegan. You'll never go back, I swear.
Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. It's Jake Yap sitting in for Ian Lee for one night only. Thank you for being so lovely so far. 0844 499 1000 is the number to call. I'm feeling wildly optimistic. Everyone's been so nice so far. We're going to do calls straight to air. I'm not entirely sure what that means or what it entails or what the legal implications are. But 0844 499 1000 is the number to call. Here's the headlines.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, hello, it's Jake Yap sitting in for Ian Lee, and 0844-499-1000 is the number to call, and we'll put you straight to air. I don't know how, I'm sure it'll be thrilling. So, earlier we were talking to Katia, who's sent you this book in French.
A mucky book, it turns out.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I'm hoping. The title seems promising.
I don't think it's that
well,
mucky.
Well, you say that. You've been skimming through it.
Well, I'm quite practiced at finding dirty bits in books, and this comes from when I was sort of 14, 15, and I used to go and stay at my grandmother's.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'd always be in the spare bedroom.
Mills and Boone.
Which is where my dead grandfather used to sleep.
Before he was dead.
It was after he was dead. So, you know, it wasn't all bad. So, and it just became her repository for mucky books, right? So it was stuff like Barbara Taylor Bradford and stuff.
Yeah.
And so you knew you were going to get a bit of smut on about page 50. Mm-hmm. About page 120.
But not enough in Barbara Taylor Bradford.
And then that would be it. Yeah. That would be it. But I remember...
Did she not have a Jackie Collins in there?
Can I use a phrase?
Go on.
It's always stayed with me from these books.
Go on.
It was a gentleman caressed... Can I say this? fountainhead of her womanhood.
Gosh.
Can I say that?
Wow, that's a
dump
really...
Dump it. Just dump it.
No. Oh, wow, a fountainhead.
Of her womanhood.
Good grief.
Yeah. So there you go. We've been talking about...
That was nice of him, wasn't it?
What? To have embraced it. Yes. Well, I mean, I think it's the least you could do.
Did you take her out for a drink first, or?
No, I think he just entered the stables. It's usually the stables, isn't it? I wrote a bonkbuster once, a spoof bonkbuster.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now, it has to star a feisty, poor, but clever young woman.
Yes, I had exactly that.
And a foppish... There's usually kind of a foppish, villainous, but dashing...
A rogue that she tames.
Yeah. And exactly then there's the one who's there all along that she's never noticed before, but he's wonderful. It's probably the smithy or something.
Do you know what? Can we close the show by reading a bit?
Yes.
I'm going to read a bit.
Have you got it?
I'll pull it up. I'm sure I can find it. It's 0844 499 1000 is the number to call. It costs you 7p a minute, plus your standard network rates, but we'll put you straight to air now. Let's talk to Happy Tree, who has valiantly held on. Hello.
Hello there. interesting that you were talking about soiling yourself.
We did like half an hour with no soilage. Go
well,
on.
Well, it's just a short comment. Yeah. And you were also talking about bees. Mm. And so I live in Estonia, and you'll never guess what the Estonian word for a beehive is.
Beehive? No, what is it?
Messy poo.
It's a pardon me?
Messy poo.
A messy poo?
A messy poo. Shut up.
So what part of that is bee?
None of it, but it's hive. Messy is honey, and poo is tree. Oh. So it's like a tree of honey.
A messy poo.
So you're happy tree. So what kind of poo are you?
Denelik.
Pardon me now?
That would be happy.
What is it?
Happy. Denelik.
Denelik poo.
Denelik.
Poo.
Denelik.
Denelik poo. Amazing.
The O with the little squiggle above. I don't know what do you call that, Kath? Because you've done Spanish.
What it's kind
the
of
thing above the N in Spanish?
An N, yeah. That's a tilde.
A tilde.
Tilde.
Yeah.
So there's a tilde above the O in Estonian, and that's the vowel sound. And it's you kind of have to close the back of your throat and go. It's not quite It's quite difficult to pronounce.
I'm sure I've made that noise before when I've been tending to my children.
Yeah, or indeed, your messy poo. Amazing. Do you keep bees? No.
No.
How do you know messy poo? I mean, how well do you know Estonia? Like, what do you?
Well, I've been here for 5 years, and the first thing I did was do a crash course in Estonian.
Yeah. Covered all the basics. Beehives.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd never learned the language with this case system before, so it was a new kind of concept to get my head around. Mm. I mean, I'm officially A2 level, if you understand the European system of categorising levels of language.
No.
But the difficult thing is vocabulary.
Yeah.
The difficult thing is vocabulary because you have to keep using it. And the thing is, you go into a shop here and you say, Terry, cast your ragged English ticket, which is English.
Yes.
And they say A, which is no, or Natokana, which is a little bit. And then they ask me, do you speak Russian? And I say, no, I don't speak Russian. And then I ask them, do you speak French? No, we don't speak French. Then they ask me, do you speak German? No. And I say, okay, so we're going to work in hand signals. And
yeah.
But they don't have time to be my language teacher in a shop, so it's difficult to get the practice. But when I moved to France, that was a lot easier for learning French because they would refuse to speak anything but French to you. So you would be forced to...
forcément, quoi. Forcément.
C'est normal que t'es ici, hein.
Mon Dieu.
Faut que tu parles.
Qu'est-ce que tu fous là?
Well, you weren't in Paris, though, were you?
No, I was in... Well, this is the thing about pronouncing foreign names. Mm. One of my favourite memories of my dad was... I was in Aix-en-Provence for 6 years.
Aix-en-Provence.
And we went to Aix-en-Provence.
Aix-en-Provence.
Aix.
Yeah, Aix.
Aix-en-Provence, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we went to Marseille, and the Marseille have this very, very strong southern accent, and I remember him sitting there looking at the sun, eating fish
freshly caught from the sea and going, Marseille.
Brilliant.
He was really good at pronunciation, but didn't have any words, so he would just make noises and go, oh, yeah,
you could get quite far like that, actually.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So you've been in Estonia for a while. We were talking earlier on about how, you know, obviously to us there are certain accents that are sexy, the French accent, for example.
Yeah.
But German, not so much, I would suggest. So how do the Estonians feel about your accent, your Scottish accent?
He's like, I don't have one.
They normally think I'm Irish.
Do they? Do they like it, though? Is it is it exotic to them?
Well, I mean, you know Lemmy, so his show that is quite popular down here for some reason.
Is
and
it?
So it's like, oh, you come from Glasgow. Oh, do that sketch. No, I can't recreate
as
any
in
of
da- as in Daft Lemmy. Daft Lemmy.
Yeah.
How extraordinary. Yeah. He's big in Estonia.
Because, you know, it's quite difficult for us to unpick it.
Among the friends that I have here, most of the people, let's say up to age 30, speak English very well because they've lived for the last 20 years in a more open society, and you know they've got all the media that they watch and they listen to everything. And all films here are in original version with two sets of subtitles, so it fills up half the screen. Yeah. They have Estonian and Russian subtitles here, so
gosh.
I don't tend to go to the cinema. Because you can't see the screen.
But did you introduce these people to Daft Lemmy, or did they already know Daft Lemmy?
No, it was independently. I mean, they can access YouTube as easily as I can. So
still, I mean,
that's bizarre.
You'd have to have pretty good English to be able to unpick that, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yes. I mean, they were asking me, "What does this mean?" You know, it's like when he says, "I was going down the brew to get my gyro." And they're like,
there's
what's
not
he talking
a chance.
About? Like,
does it? Are you sure?
Brew
maybe
is the unemployment office.
Maybe he's speaking Estonian.
Maybe that's it.
I thought it was just a thick Glaswegian accent. Does he look? I don't. That's an absolute.
What are we going to say? Say it. Say it out loud. Does he look Estonian?
What? Yeah. Does he look Estonian?
What, Lemmy?
Lemmy.
Yeah, I don't know.
He could do, I suppose.
Amazing.
That was a big difference, actually, that I found when moving to Estonia, is that I miss the different mix of different cultures, basically, and colours, because here it's like there's maybe three black people in the whole country. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was in Marseille, you know, everyone, most of my friends were all Arabs or, you know, a big mix of people like that. So I miss that whole thing. Oh, I would kill for a falafel, a proper falafel.
Oh, yeah.
Piece of bread.
Oh, yeah.
Well, oh, my God.
That's the thing. If just to carry on the thought, if you're vegan and you're anywhere in mainland Europe, you are dead. Forget it.
My Spanish, my best mate is Spanish, and she'd say, if you said you were vegan, she'd say, oh, so can you have chicken?
Yeah, that's not meat. Ham, have some ham. That's not meat.
I've been vegetarian for a long time, and I've kind of lapsed a bit since being in Estonia because you just can't avoid it. It's like, can I have some pea soup? Here you go. Here's the pea soup.
With ham in it.
Why are the bits of bacon at the
bottom?
Because we put bacon in pea soup.
Yeah, of course you do.
But why didn't you say that in the thing? Because that's the recipe. Why don't you eat meat then? And I was like, oh, good.
Here we go. Yeah.
But
do you want to
hear a Baudelaire poem about a cat?
Yes, I know that one. That's about a woman, really, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Go on.
Le chat. Viens, mon beau chat, sur mon corps amoureux. Retiens les griffes de ta patte et laisse-moi plonger dans tes beaux yeux mêlés de métal et d'agate. Lorsque mes doigts caressent à loisir ta tête et ton dos élastique, et que ma main s'enivre du plaisir de palper ton corps électrique, je vois ma femme en esprit. Son regard, comme le tien, aimable bête, profond et froid, coupe et fond comme un dard, et des pieds jusqu'à la tête, un air subtil, un dangereux parfum, nage autour de ton corps brun. There you go.
Wow.
And then they go, everybody wants to be a cat.
Because the cat's the only cat who really knows where it's at.
Happy tree, you.
Everybody's speaking on the feline beat.
Because everything else is obsolete. Happy tree, okay, brilliant. Thank you for elevating us this evening.
Wow.
Appreciate that.
Good night.
That was Happy Tree in Estonia. I can actually sing Tout le monde veut devenir un cat.
Wow.
Parce qu'un chat, quand il est quatre, retombe sur ses pattes. We need to stop.
Yeah. Seriously. But wow.
We lost everyone.
Yeah.
I was, well, you could, it sort of ties in with the Eurovision, which I'm gutted to be missing.
Right. When?
Because it's the semi-final tonight.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And the other one was on Tuesday.
Eurovision for me, it's not changed, has it, when it should have, right? Eurovision has always been a little bit saucy at times.
Yeah, okay.
The last one I remember was the Milkmaids. What was that?
Oh, yeah. That
I
was
mean, the, they're pumping the churns.
That was the Polish entry, I think.
I mean, flipping, heck, it was like Babe Station.
But there were, I think that might have been the same year that my favourite act ever, Verka Sadutschka, was on.
Right, remind me.
Which was, it was like, if you can imagine Christopher Biggins in aviator shades.
Whoa.
With a tinfoil sort of jester's hat, covered in tinfoil all over, shouting, dancing! Over and over again.
It was a strong look.
Oh, man, it was the best one ever. It was this kind of hardcore dance techno thing. But you see, I think the problem was it did move on.
Mm.
I think it tried to modernise.
Mm.
I think that was a mistake. I think you should still have every entry should have to be accompanied by a sort of house band that has, that's conducted.
That gets given the sheet music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With, you know, there's always the guy with the moustache with the electric guitar playing off a score.
Yes.
Like turning the page and playing it.
With his headphones on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All 70s headphones like these ones.
Yes.
With the guy in a white tux conducting from the piano. Yeah, that's, yeah. If it should all still be done like that.
Gosh, if only.
Yeah, see, now it's too much bells and whistles. It's too good. It's too polished. I watched the Russian entry from Tuesday. It's like he's got this video wall and it's back projects and then he climbs up the video wall and you don't even know how he's done it.
Gosh.
Now I know I've lost you. You're like, gosh.
I mean, it's just...
It's. I think
it used to be about the music. It's never about the music. It was about voting for your mates.
It was about the...
And expressing your displeasure with the Anglo-Saxons.
It was about the excitement of this big live event going all over Europe.
I used
to like
watching the bit where the points bit was really boring. But what I used to like watching was everyone getting really drunk in a tent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Brits pretending they didn't care anyway. They were just there for the jolly.
Well, it would always start with, you know, everyone in the green room sort of going, ah, thumbs up to the camera whenever they cut to them. Like, oh, here we go, fingers crossed.
By the end.
Blowing kisses by the end. It's
whatever.
Like, oh, you, mate. I didn't even want to win. It was rigged. Someone should really lose it in the green room when this year. That's what should happen.
Mm.
I'd love that. It's open. You can call us 0844-499-1000 and we'll put you straight to air. That's 0844-499-1000. Yes?
No, I'll tell you after.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
okay, tell me afterwards. It's Jake Yap sitting in for Ian Lee. 0844-499-1000. Anything goes right now, so give us a ring, will you? Ray has been in touch on Twitter. We were just earlier talking about Estonian for beehive is messy poo, and he says that he's confirmed that, and he's also he said that 12 months in Estonian, do you know what 12 months is in Estonian?
No.
It's kaks taste kud. Don't they? Well, Adrian says Norman Wisdom was massive in Albania. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, but that's the sort of humour that they like on the continent, isn't it? That very physical stuff. Benny Hill was big in France, wasn't he?
Oh,
I hate Benny Hill.
I can't stand Benny
Hill.
I know,
but they love it. And Mr. Bean.
But Mr. Bean, oh, he's so funny. Oh, Mr. He has terrible exports. Terrible exports.
They can have those.
Well, you know, actually, talking about TV shows and kind of exports and stuff, this white paper thing happened
yes.
today about the BBC.
Yeah.
And
BBC's been bracing itself for that for about a year and a half.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sort of the gist of it was some of what they said was, and they sort of recanted a lot of stuff that they were threatening.
Oh, yeah, they were coming out Charlie Big Potatoes, weren't they, about 6 months ago, and saying, well, you can't count on the licence fee, especially not making things like the dancing programme. That's
exactly.
not what the BBC should be for.
Yeah, exactly. I think they were saying that, you know, contestants who crashed out of shows like Strictly Come would have to be shot.
yeah.
You know, real hardball. So it looked like nothing when they finally announced what was in the white paper. But they were saying that they wanted...
They're saying things need to be slightly less good and slightly more different.
Niche, a little bit more niche.
Yeah, less good.
A little
good,
bit more niche,
different.
A little bit less good. So I was thinking, and this is a fun game we could play. We could look at how can we nicheify popular BBC TV shows? So you can call us 0844 499 1000, of course, cost 7p a minute, plus your network rate. Or you can text us 87222, start your text message with the word talk. So I've tried to like nicheify a few BBC shows, okay, but we need more, I think. Let me try some of these on you, right? String Watch.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't get a
just
lot more niche than that.
A Ball of Twine in a Bush.
Yeah.
Flanorama. Just a discussion about quiche.
Yeah.
Gnomes Under the Hammer.
Yeah.
This is one of my favourites. The Great British Spake Off.
Jeremy Spake. Just whatever happened to that guy?
He does a lot of work for charity now.
Does he?
Apparently, according to his Twitter feed.
What? He's a poppy collector?
No.
What does that mean?
No, he does, I don't know, he goes to sort of things for dogs or something.
All right.
I can't remember.
Good for him.
Let me have a look. He's got 486 followers on Twitter. And I know we shouldn't set any stock by,
is
know.
He verified? Has he got a blue tick?
Let's have a look. Let's see if I can find his blue tick. That's not
well, that's a shame, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hang on, here he is. He is not verified.
Oh. You know what's happened there? Brendan from Coach Trip has stolen his thunder.
He did! He took his entire shtick.
He's nicked the act.
It's like a clean-shaven Jeremy Spake.
Yeah. Saying something slightly camp and then walking off camera. A bit like David Cameron. He does that as well, doesn't he? The walk-off.
So he was saluting veterans on Victory Day, but it was all in Russian. I think this was like the May Day celebration.
Yeah, he speaks Russian, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a new book coming very soon.
Was there an old book?
There was an old book. Someone tweeted him a photo saying, do you remember this at Waterstones Milton Keynes? And it looks like, I don't know, just try and guess the year. Look at the jacket, look at the hair and look at the glasses.
Oh, hang on, he's gone. Oh, there he is.
Yeah. 90s.
Yeah, that looks...
Seven.
Isn't it funny, right? The further we get from the 90s, the more the 80s.
Yeah, the more you realise that they actually had a style of some description.
Yes.
And it was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Very long zips on jeans is what I remember.
Very long zips on... Yes! You're right.
Really long.
And really baggy white shirts. Yeah. Amazingly baggy white. You could not wear a large enough white shirt.
No.
It was almost a train. Hey, look, I'm going to try and do our first straight-to-air call. 0844-499-1000.
Now, you do know this could be anything.
And this could be anything, yeah. Right? My finger's hovering over the dump button. It's...
Je frotte ma poitrine. Je frotte ma poitrine.
Rub yours.
Je frotte.
Je frotte.
Je frotte.
Nous frottons.
Je frotte ma poitrine.
Vous frottez.
Je frotte. Nous frottons. Nous frottons la poitrine. Mais je frotte. Nous frottons la poitrine. And then we're rubbing the ribs.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Keith, that was amazing. I was frotting. Were you frotting?
You could hear me frotting.
I could see you frotting. I don't think Ed was frotting. He was sobbing.
I had a good frot over here.
You had a quiet frot by yourself. Keith, tell me that was... Oh, is he gone? He's gone.
That's all he ever does. He just rubs his ribs.
He just frotted.
For quite a long time sometimes.
Oh, amazing.
He frots and goes...
There's no time, you know, you just, that's all you need sometimes, just a quick frot, and away we go. Let's try and find some more niche BBC programmes. Mm. I had vaguely Come Dancing. It's just people just aimlessly wandering about, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
While someone does a Foxtrot cover of Smack My Bitch. I can't, that's the one thing I can't take with Strictly Come Dancing, when they try to sort of bossa novaify the Prodigy or... Kia.
Bit rubbish. But on the old Come Dancing, they used to do that a lot, didn't they? They'd have...
Did they?
Someone like... Yeah, and it was great because they'd have someone like Cliff or, you know, one of the big stars of the day standing in the middle while they all twirled and whirled around him.
But they still do that.
Do they?
That now. I haven't seen it for a long time.
I can't commit to anything longer than 20 minutes these days. I just can't fall asleep.
No, I can understand. Well, that's what you were saying, that Eurovision is like slow TV.
I can't. I have to watch what I'm watching and then get in and out. I can't be...
So I'm trying to think of a TV show that lasts 20 minutes. Like an American sitcom.
Yeah, it'd have to be... Yeah, it has to be... I have to be in the mood. What else do they... What's 20 minutes?
Nothing's 20 minutes.
No.
Local news.
Oh, no.
Is that it?
Oh, no, come on.
Well, I'm trying to think. I can't think of it.
You get the same local news I do, flipping heck. I don't,
do you get the woman? There's a woman on BBC Breakfast News. I mean, I don't watch it anymore. There's almost nothing I can take in the mornings anymore. But there'd be this woman, and she's really sweet. She's like proper sort of woodland creature, doe eyes, like frightened, hiding in the bushes, like the beginning of Cinderella or something, you know? And she sort of scampers on and she reads out the headlines. And it's that thing where they've gone from like the central network hub in London.
It's your moment, you're on.
It's like, bang, you're live. You have the local network. And she do the news. And obviously you have to do it to time, precisely to time, so that then the network picks up and they carry on again back in London. And every bulletin she'd end, and the standard procedure, right, for any newsreader, even in this digital age where no one uses paper anymore, is shuffle your papers.
Yes.
That's what you say. We'll be back in an hour. Shuffle, 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 shuffle. Yeah. Shuffle to fill.
And if you have someone next to you, pretend to be happy.
Pretend to. No, you were. Yeah. And she won't shuffle her papers.
Wow.
So she gets to the end of the bulletin and she says, really, we'll have more in half an hour. And then she tries to smile at the camera and hold it. And she always comes out early. So they're not ready to go back to the network. And so you just watch this smile slowly die on her face.
How delicious, though. I love those moments.
I'm obsessed with it. Obsessed with it.
Well, I might have to record her.
She's very good. I don't know her name. But
did you see Lisa Stansfield with the Bill Turnbull? And I think, was it Bill Turnbull? Oh, he don't do it anymore, does he?
He keeps bees.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
In an evil way or in a nice way?
It's Bill Turnbull.
Nice.
It's got to be.
Yeah. Nice beige.
Nice beige hive. Way. Oh, God. Can you imagine being Bill Turnbull's bee? How would you find the will to pollinate in
Can't
the morning?
Can't be bothered. Anyway, there was someone who's not Bill Turnbull.
Yeah.
Someone else who's not anyone I can remember the name of.
Yeah.
And Lisa Stansfield. And it was about the passing of Prince.
Oh, no.
Do you remember this?
No, I didn't see this.
And she, the newsreader, there was a moment of flipping heck. Actually, this woman has lived, right? Because they're all like butter wouldn't melt, aren't they, on BBC Breakfast?
Yeah.
They're not allowed to have any sauce, none of that nonsense.
And no opinions and no niceness.
Exactly. Yeah. No joking, thank you. Certainly no sauce.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she starts talking about how she was once beckoned over by one of Prince's bodyguards in a nightclub, and the boss wanted to meet her and everything. It's just a rather charming story. She was there on her 21st birthday and she's all excited.
Yeah.
And and he came over and Lisa Stansfield sort of nodding and smiling, and she lets her get the story out, and then she goes, "So what we all want to know is, did you or didn't you?" The look on that woman's face is like, my goodness, what on earth are you thinking?
They couldn't even say, we'll take a break, because it was the BBC. What could they? Oh.
Lisa Stansfield, what a legend. Did you or didn't you?
Come on. Of course she did. You would, wouldn't you? I do find, like, this is a slight problem with a lot of, almost all breakfast TV, actually, at the moment, is it's just drearily earnest.
What are they doing? Right, why are they all sitting in that waiting room?
What waiting room?
Well, they're all sitting on a sofa that's in a circle.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
And, you know, why is there always a younger woman with a... What is the relationship supposed to be there? They're never the same age.
No, of course not.
It's like a Brucey-Tess relationship every time.
Yeah, because, of course.
Because that's the tradition. Why, though? She's the junior partner.
Do you really want me to tell you?
She's the junior partner.
It's genetics.
Right, go on.
It's genetics. If you are a bloke, like going way back, if you're a bloke and you attain a certain age,
mm-hmm.
you must have either been good at fighting or quite smart,
mm.
right? Because it's the only way you'd survive while all the blokes knock seven bells out of each
right.
other, you know? So you've either got to be wily or good at fighting. Genetically, you're worth having.
Ah.
So whereas for a woman, you need to be young and fertile and able to bear children. So you look at them and you go, yeah. That makes sense. I'm not saying it's okay. I think it's weird.
But that's what it's based on.
It's genetics, I reckon.
It's like medieval.
Yeah.
Not even that. Cave.
Let's talk more. Anyway, by the way, 0844 499 1000. We'll put you straight to air. You can do whatever you like. We have a button. after the break, I'll tell you about my attempt at drearily earnest presenting.
Oh, did you
try? I tried to do it a few years ago and how it massively misfired, and how the Olympics very nearly got me fired. It helps if you can breathe through your ears. Anyway, it's Jake Yap sitting in for Ian Lee this evening. I'm going to end the show with some erotica that I wrote.
Can't wait. Can you do it in Lisa Stansfield's voice?
You could, though. I might make you read it. That would be the best thing, and then you can censor it if it needs to be censored. But
did ya?
That is a really good idea. That's exactly what we're going to do. 0844 499 1000. We'll put you straight to air. Course cost 7p a minute plus your network charge. I want to talk about this story in The Sun. New Top Gear bully claims. Now, this is a shocking spin. I normally do the Sunday breakfast show here on Talk Radio from 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, fans. And we are the show that loves Top Gear. But the good Top Gear, the new Top Gear.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because that's the good one, right? The new Top Gear.
Not the Grand Tour.
Not the, yeah, the Grand Tour, which they announced today, didn't they? Clarkson et al. Like, whatever. The best Top Gear there's ever been is going to be the new Top Gear. Mm-hmm. I am 100% behind. I am so excited to see the new Top Gear. Aren't you?
No. There's going to be loads of donuts in it and stuff, aren't there?
No, there's no donuts. No Cenotaph donuts. That's all gone now.
Handbrake turns.
That's all gone. Oh. That is not happening.
No offence.
No. It's going to be the best show that has ever been made.
Is this why they're cooking up the bullying thing? No. They're trying to make it sound dangerous.
It is a smear campaign.
I think it is.
It's a smear campaign. Don't leave me alone with Evans. Boss insists on backup at meetings. Top Gear's boss has a contract stating she can never be left alone with Chris Evans.
Really?
It was claimed last
night. I know
night.
Someone whose wife worked with him and he was a nice fella, according to the wife.
I worked with him once. He was very nice. He taught me the secret of how to drink successfully in London.
All right.
Because it is hard sometimes drinking in London, you know, because the drinks are expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, places like good bars, sometimes there's a long way between bars and stuff. All you have to do is be a millionaire and have a driver.
Boom.
Piece of cake.
Gosh.
So it was like we had a drink after we worked on a show. We had a drink afterwards.
He had a driver.
In a pub. And he was like, oh, let's go up to Swiss Cottage. There's a nice bar there. I was like, yeah, but how do we? So the car's right here. And we just get in the car, drunk. And go up and have another drink up there. Then we go back down to Soho. He's like, oh, this is how you do
That's
it.
That's how it's done.
That's how you drink.
So you always have to do it with Chris Evans.
Always. If you're going to drink in London, drink with Chris Evans. That's my top tip. Anyway, it's the show that loves Top Gear.
Right.
Because no one else does. The new Top Gear.
We're being programmed not to love it. That's
I'm
why.
So excited. The thing is, I tried to do this once before with something else. And it backfired spectacularly.
Because it was poo.
No. I don't know if you remember this, but like when the Olympics happened and the opening ceremony, everyone went berserk.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it was exciting, wasn't it?
It was exciting. It was the
closing
best thing
one
ever.
Was rubbish.
It was a bit rubbish.
Yeah, go on.
But the opening, amazing. Yeah. And everyone then was like so pumped about the Olympics. Before that happened, no one cared about the Olympics.
No.
They didn't give a fly. Like, it was not a tinker's cuss was given by a single person.
We fully expected it to be absolute pony.
Yeah, exactly. And then it wasn't, and that was brilliant. But in the run-up to the Olympics, I decided to be the only man in Britain excited about the Olympics. And I was trying to compensate for the apathy of the other 59 million... So I was posting these videos on YouTube, right? And just loving the Olympics. Loving the Olympics.
What, and of you? Like a...
It was sort of just a heightened version of me.
Like being Zoella.
I was just thrilled, but everything was exciting to me. And I loved Wenlock, the official Olympic mascot.
No, they were rubbish.
Because Wenlock was the best!
Was he one-eyed one?
Yes, but not Mandeville. I did not like Mandeville because he's just copying Wenlock. And Wenlock was the most excellent mascot. And Mandeville was a rubbish mascot, right? So this is the kind of shtick that I was doing.
Right.
And I kept talking about, Wenlock, the best. Mandeville, dry. And posting these videos like, only 98 days to go. And like, no one was really watching these videos. Finally, some friends sent me a cuddly toy, Wenlock of Mandeville.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Just as beef eaters. And I looked at them and I immediately thought, I know what to do with this. And I went into the spare bedroom with my camcorder and I made this film where Wenlock explained to Mandeville what a worthless piece of dirt he was.
Oh.
And Mandeville agreed wholeheartedly and said, And Wenlock said, you know what you deserve, don't you? And all you're good for. And Mandeville Blimey. Wholeheartedly agreed. And Wenlock set to it and ensured that Mandeville fully appreciated what he had coming. And Mandeville loved it. I put this video on
well,
YouTube.
Well, that escalated, didn't it?
Sorry. I put the video on YouTube and suddenly I'm getting traction, man.
50 shades.
It was like one shade. And it was quite virulent. And finally, after posting all these videos and getting like 200 hits, this one's getting some traction. People right. are like, you've got to see this. This is the funniest thing ever. You've got to see this. And like the counter's going up and up and up and up and up.
And you're thinking, this is brilliant.
I'm thinking, this is brilliant. I've made it. Finally, I'm the next Zoella done in dirtiness with soft toys. Right? And suddenly I get a text. And it's that sudden, like, slamming your foot on the brake as hard as you can moment.
Reality's calling.
It's that, you know that thing they do in films where, like, the camera zooms in while it's moving away from the person and the background goes all weird and truncated?
Yes.
It was that, moment. I get a text message from my then boss saying, take that video down now. We'll talk in the morning.
Oh, gosh.
It's my boss and I'm working at the BBC in local radio. And she's like...
They're really forgiving in BBC local radio. Really forgiving.
They really are.
They really do back you up.
Not this time, but generally they're great people. And it was just horrific. It was horrific. I had to go in and do a show knowing what I'd done.
Oh, they're good at that.
And knowing that I had this meeting straight after the show. So
the meeting after the show.
Yeah.
That's the killer.
Yeah. And so this knot just building and building in my stomach the size of a grapefruit. And I go into the meeting and my boss is like, you know, you do realise that, you know, you're in breach of contract. What you've done is in breach of contract.
What? Soft toy abuse.
Because there was a stipulation.
Stuff the BBC's covered up.
There was a stipulation, yeah. No, she said, you know, you've brought the BBC into disrepute.
Oh, come on.
You're a journalist on the BBC. I was like,
oh, yeah?
I'm a guy who bangs a tin tray over his head for coins. Like, I suddenly went, oh, God, she's right. Like, I've been hired as a journalist. Like, if you present a local radio show, you're
news.
Technically a journalist. Yeah. And I hadn't really realised that. I was just being Jake the Clown Boy.
Oh.
And she broke me and I wept. I cried.
Did you?
I cried in the office.
And doesn't that...
Because she was saying, what is wrong with you? Like, have you got a problem? Like, are you self-destructive? Is that what... I was like, no, I just like me making people laugh. I didn't... They are sorry.
That's funny.
I was weeping, brokenly.
Gosh, there's nothing like a manager trying to get you to explain comedy, is there? Wow.
I left.
I mean, that's mean, though, isn't it? That is mean doing that to someone.
Well, I mean, she was right. You can't blame her. She was right. What I'd done was disgusting.
Well, what Wenlock and Thingy did was worse.
I didn't do it. They did it.
Exactly. That's what you should have said. Like
they had a life of their own.
You know. Why is their love wrong? Who are you to judge?
It's true. It's true. It was. Yeah, if I
been
made,
working
it,
very closely together,
it was
these
almost,
things happen.
Yeah, you could almost say that attitude was almost bigoted.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
disgraceful.
So, a bit drearily earnest. I can't remember what the thread was. We got from Bill Turnbull to that. By way,
drearily earnest. Those
drearily,
words.
Drearily earnest. We were trying to talk about. By the way, 0844-499-1000.
If you want, you don't have to.
You don't. You really don't have to. I mean, it's no pressure. I don't want people to feel pressure. So, we're going to end the show with. I wrote some erotica some years ago.
Was it before everyone else was writing it?
It was before I knew what I was writing about.
Oh, really?
And I, if you're up for it, would you read it?
Yeah.
Awesome. Because then you can send if it needs to be sent. I don't think it needs to be censored.
I don't think I'll censor it.
I think it would be quite a riveting listen.
There's nothing like someone trying to read something out that's probably quite rude when they've not seen it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Isn't that thrilling?
We can do that.
So in the meantime, we were talking about niche BBC TV shows, trying to make popular shows a bit more niche because of the government white paper that's come out. I've got... These aren't particularly good. This is the bottom of the barrel now. I sort of thought, this will go crazy. Oh, everyone will make a contribution to this.
It's too late.
And it's too late. Everyone's gone to bed, basically. I've got Chiropractor Who.
Oh.
It's a bit more niche.
Yeah.
And I've got Crotch Dog.
Oh, now.
But that's probably not as niche. That's probably less niche than Watchdog.
These days, yeah.
And I was trying to the best thing I could come up with. This is a hard one to pun. And you shouldn't pun anyway. Don't pun, kids. Don't pun. Geese tenders. Just people tending geese. That's good.
It's okay. Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and shortly after that, Kath is going to read some erotica live and unprepared.
Well,
on the radio.
I'm going to get sacked.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. It's Jake Yap sitting in for Ian Lee. Only another 16 and a half minutes to go here. And working on the assumption that everyone important's gone to sleep. I mean, Denny, the boss, he must have gone to sleep.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't listen after this time.
He can't do.
No, he's a very busy, important man. Of course, he is. Listening to this nonsense.
So with that in mind, we're going to do some erotica. I can't remember how it all came. Oh,
can I do the disclaimer?
Katia sent you the...
this rude book.
A rude book in French.
Yes.
This is not in French.
The following part of the programme may contain scenes of a sexual nature.
Oh, it does. Unquestionably, it does.
So if you're still listening, then...
So I'm gonna pass my laptop over to you, and I'm going to play... I haven't really... I've got, like...
We're going to set the mood with some...
Sexy music. That's quite sensual, isn't it?
A cabin in Norway.
They say, write what you know. I've never been to Norway. How hard can it be, right?
How low does this go? Do I have to press down or...
You can scroll with two fingers, you know? Do the two-finger scrollers.
Don't.
Oh, come, that's not... Oh, come on. Okay.
A cabin in Norway.
Yeah.
Despite the icy cold air, Lars...
That's all right. Lars is... That's all right, right?
Sounds gorgeous.
Yeah.
Lars mopped the sweat from his thick Norwegian brow.
Good.
In 20 minutes, using just an axe, he'd reduced an 80-foot spruce to a pile of logs.
Good.
He looked up the slope to the cabin. There she was, framed in the window, watching him, diaphanous in a sheer, floaty negligee. The backlight traced the silhouette of her body, the flimsy material as inconsequential as toilet paper that didn't flush the first time. Oh, that's a strong image.
That's good. Yeah, it's erotic.
Lars could trace his ancestry back to the Vikings, the conquerors of the world. Though now, in the modern world, he was reduced to chopping wood for a woman. But what a woman.
Shall I put on another music bed?
Yeah, go on.
It's a nice one.
She was stunning. In her early 30s, golden-skinned, with hair the colour of frosted hay. Or a really well-sucked sherbet lemon.
It's good. You're bringing it to life.
It's powerful.
You're bringing it to life.
Come inside, she said, in Norwegian. No,
because I don't know the Norwegian.
No, but that would—I think that would detract.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Lars mumbled in Norwegian.
Yeah.
It's cold, she protested, in Norwegian, and indeed it was. You could see her nipples.
That's what she could see—her nipples.
I've seen what's coming next.
Yeah, come on.
You could see her nipples. Like limpets clinging to her pendulous breast rocks for dear life. Covered in barnacles.
Ed, you should open your mic. This is all fun. We can all join in. We're all friends. We've known each other for like 2.5 hours now.
I mean, this could be lifted from life. I mean, this is very...
It is from life. This all really happened.
Covered in barnacles. Come in. Come inside. And take me. She uttered breathlessly in Norwegian.
Yeah.
He dared himself to look at her. Her breath was shallow, shallower than a fake tan chav model with highlights dating an astrologer because he gave her a convertible. And that is pretty shallow.
Yeah.
Lars said nothing. He dropped his logs. That's not a metaphor. He scooped her up, his Viking blood stirring in him. 4,000 years of testosterone suddenly fueling him. Yes, she gasped, in Norwegian.
Yeah, Norwegian.
He threw her down on the fur rug. He ripped the material from her writhing body, casting it aside like a two-day-old plaster, only it hadn't gone all yellow and brown. She groaned in Norwegian as he entered her. Wow. Yeah. As rigid and unyielding as the sap-engorged logs he'd been chopping.
That's the one. Right there.
Only slightly less knobbly, obviously. He watched her torso. Feel free to dump at any point.
Yeah, no, he's going to dump any second.
I'm loving this.
Yeah, we're all about to.
He watched her torso contract and rise to meet his every thrust, like a jellyfish that had a thing about being spanked with a fly swat.
That's rich.
Yeah.
Rich imagery.
He slid down her body and took one of his nipples. No,
I love
her
the
nipples.
Way you're trying. I love the way you're trying to just flatten all the sexuality out of this. Come on.
Well, give us some passion, Kev.
Hang on, look, this is a sexy.
They're passionate
bit.
Enough.
There we go. It's
she fits. Took him. Oh, hang on.
She took
he
him.
He slid down her body and took one of her nipples in his mouth. I said his nipples. That would be like torsionism.
Unless he had a lot of loose skin. I'm wondering if Tom Kerridge can do that.
Yeah. Well, has he had a gastric band?
No.
Sometimes that leaves you a little. You know. No, anyway, Anyway,
back to the, come
where
on,
are we?
People are just about to, you know, dump.
Right, he slid down her body and took one of her nipples in his mouth. Came back with it half an hour later. She took him in her mouth, treating it like a frozen banana that urgently needed to be defrosted for a dying monkey.
That's the one.
Gosh, he moaned and groaned like a dying monkey.
There you go.
Oh, gosh, there's more.
Yeah.
Is there a whole book of this?
Yes.
Gosh. She straddled him and they lurched about as their rhythm built together.
Blimey.
He stuck his tongue in her ear. Wow. Romantic.
Yeah.
She dug her heel into his throat. Wow. Yeah. And now they were ferocious like wild animals.
Yeah.
He slapped her haunches while she bit his cheek off.
Yeah.
As they worked towards their spectacular climax, he swallowed his tongue. Then she evacuated her bowels with such force that she was lifted several feet into the air.
Can you believe you said that? Amazing.
And there they were. Lars let forth a guttural roar of passion. No, I can't.
You can't. Is that the one?
Okay, let's do it.
It's up to you.
It's 10 to midnight.
Yeah.
Lars let forth a guttural roar of passion as he pumped a small fjord of essence of Viking into her.
You can take your time over this image. Don't
I'd rather
not. It's
not
happening.
Odin would be proud. I'm going to my happy place. Odin would be proud.
That's so dark.
He thought in Norwegian. So would Vili V. Loki, even Thor. He was feeling a little like Odin. He definitely felt a little Thor. He applied some Fablon.
It's the classy ones that. Yeah. What are we doing here?
Oh, we're nearly done.
Is it normal? Is this normal? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. She lay back, exhausted, with a faint crease of a smile tugging at the corners of her mouth.
Tug.
Wordlessly, Lars got up and left. What a swine.
She wanted this.
As he departed, she thought up some smutty reference to a Viking helmet, but I can't tell you what it was because it was in Norwegian.
Beautifully done and hastily done. Thank you very much.
How old were you when you wrote that again?
Yeah,
it was like last week, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
Wow, that's wow.
So you said this is based on
I've read 50 Shades
story.
Of Grey and that is
mine's
better.
Stronger. Mine's stronger.
I say I've read 50 Shades. I've read about 25. I got quite bored halfway through.
Did you just skip through for the dirty bits?
Then you get kind of dirt blind.
Do you get dirt blind?
Yeah.
Have you ever been dirt blinded?
No,
not that old thing blind. Again.
Crafty Moo on Twitter. Good evening. What are you doing up at this time, Crafty Moo? Says this is the best bedtime story. I think we've helped lots of people pop off. That's, don't you? I nearly did.
Is it the way it was told?
I love the way you were telling the story in this kind of like, this isn't happening. If I do it really quickly, it's going to go.
Well, I mean, it's just my style of...
Yeah.
Dealing with these matters.
Okay. We've had fun. We've had a lot of fun.
Maybe too much.
Normal broadcasting will be resumed, of course, tomorrow evening. Sooner than that. I have to say, like, for me, it's fabulous because it's like, it's like the work equivalent of falling asleep on your train home and waking up like at the end of the line.
Yeah, Bedford.
I don't know what happens after 1 o'clock. Like I've never managed to get this far.
We don't talk about what happens after 1 o'clock.
What happens after 1 o'clock?
Ed deals with what happens after 1 o'clock.
Oh, Ed deals with it.
I don't know if I want to talk about it.
He gets all the dirty
it's too traumatic.
Jobs. Okay.
But, you know, suffice to say, stuff happens.
I bet it does. Mm. And then we've got Paul Ross at breakfast at 6, right? Something happens.
Yeah.
Something happens for 5 hours. But we don't.
We don't talk about,
it. Stu Brighton on Twitter says that was splendid. I'm speechless in Norwegian, which is nice. That's very nice.
I thought Lars.
I
want to know the further adventures of Lars. Did he get those logs chopped?
Don't ask me to share because I'll share. I swear.
There's more, is there?
More.
That was like a short story. I did a whole book. But I did short stories
as
well.
That was to whet your appetite.
Do you want another one? Should we do another? We could do another one.
Can we?
Well, we haven't had the phone call yet on the hotline.
Yeah. It's fine. Don't do it again.
Don't put it in the podcast. And don't put it in the best of.
Yeah, do not.
Not on a Sunday morning, guys.
No, guys. Come on, guys. I don't know if I can squeeze this into 4 minutes. Have you heard that before?
I can do it really fast.
Let me see if I can find it. Hang on. I don't know if I can find it, first of all. Let's have a look.
Is it starring Lars or is there another character?
No, it's not starring Lars. It's a story set in a fairground.
But, gosh. All right. Romantic.
I'll read this one.
Go on.
This is called Roll Up.
You're going to do music?
I've pretty much used all the music I've got.
Use it again. Hold on.
There we go. Penelope had never liked that. What time do we have to be out, Ed? Is it 58? 58. It's on the thing, right? 58.06.
Yeah, exactly. It's because of the thing we can't talk about.
Oh, of course. I don't want to know. Penelope had never liked the fairground. Some people seemed to love it. The excitement, the suggestion of danger. There was a seediness that, along with the adrenaline of the rides, drew out the nihilism in some people, the dicing with death. But Penelope shrank from it. She'd spent a lot of the evening standing alone, watching her friends on the rides she didn't dare go on. The Vomitator. Blood Clot Mountain. The Thundering Wheel of Metal Fatigue. As she stood flinching at the flashing lights and the screams of the rusted Boltonator, she became aware of someone watching her. He wasn't what you'd call conventionally good-looking, with teeth or anything like that. They came over and they struck up a conversation. His name was Greg. He worked at the fairground. He was caked in mud and oil. There was something, though, that was earthy about him. Penelope's white dress had been a mistake. Greg reached out to touch her and left a thumbprint on her. She liked it. She wanted to feel part of his sordid, soiled world. I'm trying to get a shift on, to be honest with you.
Said Greg.
Penelope realised that they'd walked a long way from where her friends were. Perhaps it was the way he smelled of sump. Whatever it was, she wanted him. Where can we go to be alone? She asked. Her dress lay ruined around her ankles. I don't really remember what I've got any of this. His donkey jacket, made from real donkeys, was on the floor too.
I wonder where that was going.
I'm going to skip that bit.
Oh, right. That's the rules, is it?
I'm going to skip that bit. I'm going to skip that bit. I can say... No, I can't say that. Anyway, they had a lovely time. Later...
Did you get a free go on the waltzer?
That's pretty much what happened. Later, as they pushed his thighs back into their sockets...
What?
...and prized her teeth out from the upholstery... They realised that making love on the roller coaster had been a bit of a mistake. It's very elaborate, that one. It's very sensuous.
Yeah, too much.
It's really too very hot. Sensuous. I love that. The only criticism we've had of A Cabin in Norway, that bold erotica that you read out so fearlessly, the only criticism has come on Twitter. Adrian has said, you really don't cut logs with an axe.
Verisimilitude, similitude. Very important at this
same
time of night.
French, yeah. Well, that's more or less it.
Well, I think that'll do.
I don't think we should do any more. I think that's a given. I do want to thank everyone for enduring it, but also making contributions. Ribena Rosie says it seemed like a lot of poo and sex. Well, you've got the measure of me there. Emily Jane says, I should be asleep, but Jake kept reading his mucky stories on talk radio is just too entertaining. Well, you're very welcome. And
even though he chickened out quite spectacularly.
I could honestly, you're great. You know you're grateful that I did. You know you are.
Kat, thanks for being so lovely and holding my hand.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Ed, thanks for being so lovely the way you always are.
No worries. We'll see you tomorrow, won't we?
We will see me tomorrow. Well, possibly not after that. Let's just see. There's a red phone we'll that's flashing. Should it be flashing? That's it from me. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night. God bless.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.